The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
All right. Is my mic on? Yes, it is. All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress.
A double all right.
Another very special off-season show. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. We're all here. Eric is back from New Orleans, and we're going to get some first-hand observation from the owners' meeting.
Just let me take my sunglasses off.
Oh, a preemptive strike. Yeah. See that?
Is it bright in here?
Yeah.
Well, we do have to talk about that.
Yeah.
That decision.
Yeah.
But
the decision.
The decision.
He's LeBron. Taking my talents to Canal Street.
Minus, you know, forget it.
We're also wondering what six-year-old you got the T-shirt from, but we'll talk about that later. So let's set the table here. There's no news. Really, what are we? Gronkowski on NFL Network last night.
Yeah.
That was cool.
He was very good in the part I saw, the on-field stuff. He was very entertaining and somewhat informative in terms of how he runs routes and what he's looking for. And then he dunked it through some scaffolding at the end of the show. It was very funny.
But you can tell his mind really is about marketing Rob Gronkowski, because at one point Rich Eisen, they showed the photo of all the kids when they were kids and they're lined up in height. And Rich Eisen goes, you could do a cellular phone commercial. You got the five bars right there. He goes, hey, you're right.
Yeah.
You know, you could see the light bulb going off over his head.
Well, his dad is a businessman.
You can often see that.
His dad is, equipment sales or something?
Yeah, sports equipment.
So, he's a businessman.
Big shock there.
No, but I'm just saying, he grew up in a household, moving and shaking and trying to get stuff done.
Right.
And I think the other brothers are very much into it. And my guess is his marketing arm of his representation is very much into it.
Yeah.
It's a tough word for me to say. My guess is that's why he was on.
Yeah.
Because I actually think that's a strange, you know, they're asking players to not go to the NFL draft, but this player is appearing on the NFL Network.
That's interesting you bring that up, because that's one of the things I wanted to talk about. Is Florio wrote a piece that, you know, all those players that are rookies that are having second thoughts about going to the draft because of, you know, the pressure that's being put on them should make a list of all the veterans that are showing up on NFL Network, because it's still NFL-sanctioned, owned thing.
And it's making money for the owners.
Right. So really, there is no separation there, and so there, it's a little bit of hypocrisy. I just think the whole thing is crazy, but so we'll talk about that. What else do we got?
Oh, I got something for you. You ready for it?
Oh, wow. He's on.
We did talk on Tuesday a little bit about the Madden game.
Yeah, I was wrong.
I don't even get to have the fun?
No.
Pretend you didn't say that.
I'm going to read you a list of players.
No, I want to read you a list of players, Fred.
Listen, you be quiet. No, you be quiet. Obviously, I was wrong.
So much for your organic nature.
When I got back to my desk, I checked it out, and obviously Larry Fitzgerald is on it.
Aaron Rodgers, Ngamukong Suh, Sam Bradford.
I read the explanation from EA
Dwight
Sports.
Freeney,
and
Jamal Charles.
Even then, it was just like they chose it based on the popularity within the market and production that they had in 2010.
It's ridiculous.
And I don't know. Still, I don't know how they didn't come up with Tom Brady.
No, but even beyond Brady, I don't care about Brady. Get rid of Brady. Maybe he wouldn't do it, couldn't do it. Maybe
pick one of the other eight Pro Bowlers.
Right. There's defensive players on here. Sue is on here, so Wilfork could be on here.
Right.
Patrick Willis is on here, so Mayo could be on here. McCourty could be on here. Rob Gronkowski, he had 10 touchdowns as a rookie, could be on here.
Right.
Why is Danny Woodhead on here?
Yeah.
No offense to Danny Woodhead. I don't want this to be a personal attack on Danny
Woodhead.
This is
not about that.
But why is he on here?
My guess.
Because if he's on here, then James Sanders should be on here.
Oh, boy.
My guess is that.
Always gets back to James Sanders.
You know, again, here I am guessing, and I could be wrong again. But my guess is that teams do maybe have a final say. And knowing this team, they said, give him Woodhead.
Oh, I don't think this was team related.
I thought it was picked.
Well, they say it's picked.
They say it is.
Like
but,
the touchdown
but how,
song?
but how in your right mind, look, no disrespect to Danny Woodhead.
Oh, this didn't have anything to do with a fan pick?
Well, it is now.
No, it's going to be now.
It is now. I don't know where how they got selected.
Okay, I don't have any idea.
But each team has a player that the fans will now pick.
I thought it was a fan pick.
No.
And that, to me, made some sense because of, you know, the underdog, overachieving nature.
Yeah,
of
makes absolutely no sense to
me. Yeah, up to this point.
Well, I didn't say I would pick him. I'm saying I can understand.
I don't know why they're buying his jersey in great numbers. Can you imagine some guy in Seattle going into the video game store and saying, who the F is that?
Right.
I mean, among the Patriots, someone would know from any
There's
region.
31
he
Pro
doesn't
Bowlers.
Resonate.
There's 31 Pro Bowlers and all pros in Danny Woodhead.
Well, not really. There's a couple other interesting ones. Like Carlos Dunlap is probably going to have
a career. There's a Danny Woodhead.
But even him, he had like 10 sacks as a rookie. So
did he have that many?
I believe so.
But I thought it was a disappointment.
Oh, no, I think he had like 10 sacks.
That's where I think that the team is somehow involved, because if you're the Patriots, we don't want our guy in the cover. Let's give him somebody who's not going to win that fan vote. So I don't know.
You know what? Patriot fans, I think you need to band together. I think Patriots fans need to band together and make a mockery of Madden and put Danny Woodhead on the cover.
Well, I think
he needs to win.
He'll get a lot of votes.
Who's his first round matchup? Steve Johnson?
Oh, yeah, he's winning. He's winning big time right now.
And then how do I tell? Do we have the bracket? Because when I printed it out, it didn't come out as a bracket. Who does he have to beat to get there?
I don't know, but I know that he's winning big over Steve Johnson right now.
Well, he should.
According to
Steve Johnson, because Buffalo shouldn't be able to have a guy on the cover.
Right. According to Nesson's Jeff P. Howe, Woodhead's winning 62% of the vote so far.
Don't you think EA should do what they do with magazines when they come out with the annual football and just have a different cover in different markets? So in our market, it would be a Patriot player, and
in
Minnesota, it would be Adrian Peterson. And
normally, they just put stars on the cover, so you don't have to do that. But if Woodhead is on it, yes, they should do that.
Yeah. They're going to have.
Normally, they just put Michael Vick or some.
If Woodhead wins this,
transcendent star.
In 3/4 of the country, they're going to have to include like some sort of explanation.
The answer
like
to the question, who the F is that?
Well, no, we'll do. We'll put a post-it note on every one of them saying, "Danny Woodhead is a running back. He plays for the New England Patriots.
He's your size, so you should like him."
Stupid.
Well, is there an infomercial on? What was it? Sani Flow?
You can put a toilet anywhere now.
You can put a toilet in the basement and have it flush up.
I might get one of those.
Flush up.
Why do you want to flush up?
Like if you didn't have to dig through, I think my sewer pipe is like
halfway up the wall, so a toilet wouldn't, you know, poop rolls downhill.
Yeah.
So if you want to put a toilet in your basement, something has to pump the poop up.
Oh, and this will do that?
Yeah, that's for people who want to, you know, finish off a basement, but they don't want to drill through.
Gotcha.
Right.
You know, the foundation and whatnot.
All right.
Which costs a lot of money.
Okay.
Good poop talk.
Anyway, back to Danny Woodhead.
How's the perfect push-up? When was the last time you used that?
Well, I've been going to the gym, so I don't need to.
Oh, you were serious about that?
Yeah. I go to the
Y.
Yeah,
Andy, I've been going to the gym, too.
The Y or the U?
The Y.
And what do you do there?
I do my
YMCU.
I do 30 minutes of cardio.
In the snack machine.
And then I lift.
What did you say?
How much YMCU?
How much weight have you lost?
One of the places he went to when he was
a kid? You're redistributing, not so much losing.
Yeah, I'm not weighing yet. I'm not into the weighing part yet.
That's right. You drank a shake on Tuesday, whatever.
I lift things up and put them down.
He's unbelievable. You know, he doesn't give anyone a break. You know, the only one who does it right is Andy.
You're finally getting
this. That's not true. If I really thought if I really thought you were going to the gym, I would give you credit.
Well, do you want to go with me so I can prove it?
No,
big fat meatball head.
Because you might have your singlet on. Because
then you'd have to embarrass him in another sport.
Right.
No, he comes in. He used to wear the weight belt too.
Where's the cup with it?
He had the weight belt.
Because I was doing push-ups at the gym the other day. And didn't you challenge me to a push-up contest?
I could beat you in a push-up contest.
Oh, let's start now.
How many can you do? Right in the studio.
Yes. At least wait for the food
I did 35 when I was doing abs.
No, they got to do it before
I was doing sets of 35.
Was it hard to get to 35?
No.
Oh, so you did it easily?
Pretty easily. Okay, well. And it was at the end of my workout. So I think if we're going
to
do it.
I would start to struggle at 35.
If we're going to do it, we should do the. Have you ever done the ladder?
I would start to struggle at 35.
Do you ever do the ladder? Push-up ladder with a person where it's 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, and you just go back and forth till someone fails?
I don't have a partner. At the gym, like
nor
you.
Do I.
It sounds like you do.
No, actually, I don't.
I think you do.
You're doing a little ladder there.
No, you know how to take.
I said, have you a quote unquote ladder?
Have you
ever done it nowadays?
Have you ever done it? That's where you missed that question. Ever. No. I didn't say I've done it recently.
I've never done it. Sounds like you have experimented with it.
He dabbled in college.
Right.
Elephantitis Arms was there yesterday, though. If you're interested, the guy that is clearly injecting something, or he's sick.
So your brothers.
No.
I'm telling you, I kind of wanted to take a picture, but I thought, I don't know how I would get it done. The man has, they got to be 40-inch arms or something.
Is it like the guy in the Planet Fitness commercial?
Pow, pow.
No, they look like.
Bang, bang, bang. Put them down.
You can't help but stare at them because they're freakish.
Yeah. Like in the middle, he goes,
it looks like, you know those, some of those infomercials online, there's ads with guys with like freakish muscles. It's like.
Right.
Photoshopped. He looks photoshopped.
Yeah, but those look like real muscles.
He's right in front of you.
You're telling me this is like jelly, right?
It doesn't look like an arm,
yeah.
But it's on his arm.
Ugh.
It's disgusting. Stripper says he knows what it is. You inject something into your arm and it does stuff.
What, like Botox?
Is it like that guy whose biceps exploded?
Yes, it's that guy. But not even his looked 10 times better.
Because
at least it had a peak, and on the back it looks kind of like a... this guy.
Why do you want to look like that?
He must have a psychosis.
Yeah. You know?
There's something wrong with him.
That's so gross. this push-up ladder thing that you know, do with the other guys.
I haven't done it in probably 15 years.
So how long does it go?
You go till someone passes.
Yeah, how long?
So you do one, then another guy does one, then you have to do two. And you have to hold yourself up while you're waiting.
Each time you move a little closer.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's different.
Yeah. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and you just go back and forth.
So how long does it usually go?
It doesn't usually go that long.
When you go with, you know.
It usually dies in the teens.
With the guys that you play with.
Because
you don't do it with guys who aren't in their teens? Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry. Are you losing your train of thought?
No, not at all.
How does it feel, Big Head? How does it feel? All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
Speaking of Andy.
Yeah. Oh, they just had an exercise tease on the news.
What else do we have? We got Ron Gronkowski.
Rob.
Eric's going to give us a recap, in his own words, of what happened down at the owners' meetings.
Put Megyn Kelly on.
But what else before we get
to
Eric?
We just did a podcast.
Just available
on Patriots.com later today, or maybe now, on the running backs, the prospects for the draft. We broke it down.
Mm-hmm. And I saw you on Patriots today doing the quarterbacks, which is really good. Good job.
Didn't I tape that, like...
Probably Friday.
I've done another one since. You did it last week.
We both taped one since then, yeah. Because you did wide receivers. And I did
Saw the quarterback.
Due to the latency of the internet, it takes a little while.
No, it's up on Patriots.com right now.
I don't know if I hope we don't have to do that thing tomorrow.
Oh, I won't be ready. I'm going to tell them no.
I'm not ready.
Their schedules are... Yeah.
Okay. Any other news?
I don't know.
Any other news?
I usually think of it midway through the show, so I'll update you later.
Okay.
Did you see the tweet that Adam Schefter put out a couple of days ago?
BC's Pro
about
Day.
What?
And Fears was at
Dante Scarnecchia was at BC's Pro Day, as was John Robinson, the head college scout.
And Brian Smith, who you call?
Schmitty.
And Ivan was at the UConn Todman Pro Day, although Todman just caught some passes. He didn't run or anything because he stood by everything he had at the combine. But he was one of three running backs coaches there. Forgot the other two.
And I know later on in the show, I'll read Colin from Belgium. He had an interesting dream that he wanted to tell us. And I had a dream, too, that we can talk about. I had another dream.
A work-related dream?
Work-related dream.
Oh. Yeah.
Any units on hips or anything?
No. But our head coach was involved.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Fred dreaming of Bill Belichick.
Wasn't quite up to, like, you know, Dr. King standards or anything.
No. It wasn't inspirational. web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Right now on the Ace Ticket Hotline is Kyle from the University of New Hampshire. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Hey, Kyle. What's up, Kyle?
I'd just like to chime in on that Madden talk you guys had going earlier. I don't know if you guys have actually looked over the whole bracket, but the whole thing is just a joke. I mean, you talk about how people in Seattle wouldn't care about seeing Danny Woodhead on the cover. If you look on the other side of the bracket at the 10 seed, you have the 12th man for Seattle.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
So what's your theory then? Why do you think they did this?
Stupid.
It's really ridiculous. I mean, you look at Danny Woodhead's a 4 seed, and then you have perennial Pro Bowlers who are ranked way below him on the bracket. I mean,
oh, he is a 4 seed. You're right.
Well, they must know New England's reputation for stuffing the ballot box.
Right.
Because Boston fans do incredibly well whenever anything is put to an online vote.
Well, I voted for Steve Johnson, Frank.
Wait a minute. Jamal Charles is a 6 seed. Even if you want to say they're similar types of player. What,
they're not.
Jamal Charles is ridiculous. You're right. This is asinine. What?
Can we get somebody from EA Sports?
Darren McFadden's a 16 seed. As much as I
Kevin,
love him.
Email Aaron Salkin up in the Patriots Media Relations.
Yeah.
He has a contact.
Okay.
And we'll see if we can get somebody from EA Sports on the
Andre
phone.
Johnson's a 6 seed. Right. Chris Johnson's an 11 seed.
Well, how do they do the seeds?
They
must have just done them in order. They just, you know, in some random fashion, because you can't tell me Andre Johnson wouldn't be a 1 seed.
Plus, Hines Ward's a 2 seed.
And Andre Johnson's a 6.
Yeah, who's coming up with these?
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Julius Peppers an 8 seed. Adrian Peterson a 9. Stupid.
That's an 8-9.
Is that 8-9 matchup.
Is there a Packer in there, too? Because it has anything to do with the divisions, Chicago?
Aaron Rodgers is a 1 seed. And,
okay, I have no idea.
Sue is a 16
seed.
All
right, Kyle, is that all you got? You got something else?
I remember you guys a few episodes ago, before the lockout actually started, you were talking about how it might affect you guys as far as the papers and the webs. I'm just curious if it's done anything. Is there anything you can't mention or use player pictures?
No, we're good. As long as it's in an editorial context and not selling something, we're good to use player images and names. We're fine.
Oh, that's good, because that would have been ridiculous.
I know.
Yes, yeah, it would have.
It would have been.
But we're good.
So far, we're all right.
All right, see you, Kyle.
Okay,
thanks,
Kyle.
Kyle
from UNH.
You know what they say about
Kyle's
mom.
Did you change your channel over there and put Caillou on?
No.
Kyle's mom.
Oh, maybe accidentally.
You know what they say about Kyle's mom. Do you have that queued up anywhere in there? Nothing?
It's got it going on.
Kyle's mom's a bitch, big bad bitch, big bitch in the world. In China, they say, ying yong ni, ying yong ni, ying yong ni.
Stripper says,
he really is out of his mind.
Woodhead Madden joke.
It's from the movie.
I understand what you're saying, but you're out of your mind.
Woodhead Madden joke cut off the press. Danny Woodhead, running back Patriots. This is the explanation for using him. Like Eli Manning, he's another popular player whose selection would also provide cost savings. Creating the Madden cover requires the dedicated work of a graphic designer using expensive software to manipulate the cover photo. But you don't need any of that for Woodhead. He is the exact size of the video game box, so put away the Photoshop. So that's the reason.
I don't think Eli Manning's in it.
No? For the Giants? No.
I don't think so. Tim Tebow's in it, you know. Backup fullbacks. So
yeah.
Have those
so what? Stripper says it'd be Woodhead versus Johnson, then the winner of the Rakpo versus Knicks, then either Fitzgerald, Bradford, Sue, Rogers to get to the Final Four.
Do you think they intentionally matched up Woodhead and Johnson?
No.
What are you, Andy?
I know. I'm just kidding.
Grow up. Come on.
This is a serious competition. But he could win the first two rounds based on that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's
interesting. I really want Patriots fans to get the job done.
I think he could beat anybody because I think Boston fans, you know, in general, because
I will laugh my ass off for an entire year.
Right.
Yes, yes.
Just, you know, well, what if it's the 12th man from Seattle? What do you put up for that? The flag? Paul Allen? I mean, what do you put on the bottom?
Crowd shot
of the crowd.
Yeah, with the fluorescent towels.
And I think they do have a big sign, don't they? Banner?
Isn't it near the Crow's Nest?
It's like,
something?
Yeah, it's in the stadium.
That was one of my favorite stadiums.
Oh, yeah, tremendous. Beautiful.
It was a good stadium. It's a good game that day, too.
It was. That was the Seneca Wallace game.
Yeah, it was a big comeback by the Pats, too.
Yeah.
Matt Castle led Pats.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com. So, Eric, congratulations on your trip to New Orleans. Intrepid reporter.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts coming back?
It was interesting too. We'd never covered an owners' meeting before.
Right, it's true.
So it was, there wasn't any real set media schedule. There were only a couple of definitive press conferences. The commissioner had a couple. Jeff Pasch, Rich McKay from the competition committee. So it was a lot more like a combine setting where you hang out at a certain area, wait for people to come through. The Tuesday morning breakfast with coaches was actually very helpful because you get basically 75 minutes to talk to any and all coaches that you want in a very informal setting. They were all very nice, willing
to
talk. Was
there food? Were they actually eating?
There was a little bit of breakfast fare, like light stuff, you know, coffee, juice, pastries,
Danish.
A little bit of
continental.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Continental spread.
Yes.
No eggs, though, and bacon.
No bacon, no, not that kind of stuff. But
no omelet station.
No, I mean, for
Belgian waffle machines.
No, but for an owner's meeting where the story was the labor dispute going in,
right?
And that was clearly the story of, you know, it was a lot. I hadn't been to one before, but my sense was that the tone was a lot more serious than it would normally have been. And I got sort of that impression from some of the other people who'd covered those before. There wasn't as much of,
except from Rex Ryan.
Well, no, because I guess in a lot of these places they have, like, you know, when the meetings are done, they have a lot of post-meeting parties and gatherings and events, and there wasn't as much of that this year. And I think there was some consciousness to the level of belt tightening that's going on. So, you know, granted, it was in New Orleans, one of the biggest party cities in the world, but there wasn't a whole lot of that going on from the NFL side, anyway. Interesting, though, that Bill Belichick ended up becoming the talk of the 2 days. As often happens, the Patriots become
front and center. Even beyond our media, other media were talking?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, because he was the first to come out and be really outspoken about the proposed kickoff changes.
Right.
That his comments, which a few other coaches backed up and, you know, supported that it was just too much, forced the league to sort of rethink at the last minute and sort of revise the rules to get where we were on Tuesday when they voted for the sort of lesser changes.
Right. All they did was move the kick, basically.
They moved the kick, and they allowed the wedge, the two-man wedge, to stand, and they restricted the kickoff team to 5 yards
running start,
except for the kicker, who can go as far back as he needs to.
Right.
The goal line.
Yeah.
Because you got to watch out for the hits that he creates.
But it was interesting, and it was good to see how that whole atmosphere operates.
Of the media, was there sort of a leader of the pack, like one guy there that was sort of the guy, you know, like from ESPN or NBC, or was there like sort of everyone following this guy?
Not really. The way it was set up, we were on the second floor of the hotel, and there was a mezzanine level where all the meetings, the actual league meetings, were taking place. So we had our computers and stuff set up upstairs. You take just one flight down, and you sort of roam this one long hallway where there were two big ballrooms at each end, and that's where all the meetings were taking place. Coaches, owners, GMs would come in and out. And upstairs there was, you know, NFL had their Sirius satellite radio broadcast, so Peter King was sort of camped out there for a lot of the time.
Right.
You'd see Morton Schefter walking around, but there was no real, like...
Was Florio there?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
If he was, I didn't see him. Yeah. But we were all together in the same place, so I would have noticed if he were there.
Yeah.
How many people were there?
I'd say...
Not combine-esque, not 350, 400.
No, really a lot smaller than that. Maybe 50 to 60.
That's all?
Total.
The list that we got was a lot more than that. And were there other teams?
I think that list includes all, ESPN had like 25 ESPN right. on bunch that of, list. Yeah, like but they're all like camera guys, people. Producers, oh, okay. behind the scenes people.
Engineers,
you know?
Truck.
There was yeah. a, there was obviously a big New Orleans contingent with the local TV, the right. local newspaper and such. I think there was only one credentialed team other than us, and it was
really?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
It wasn't like at the combine you see that every
really,
team almost
right?
has a,
yeah.
a representative.
Yeah.
And according to that list, there was only the Chiefs. And, you know, I recognize most of the people from going to the combine. You recognize most of the national and other team people.
Yeah.
And I didn't see anybody that I really knew of from any other teams. It was a really whittled down version of the combine attendance.
Hmm. Well, I think like the combine, the league would be smart to do everything they can to make that another media event.
I don't know why they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have this breakfast, why not send NFL Network cameras, have yeah. five roaming cameras that go table to table?
Right.
You have a network to fill out.
Right.
Go for it.
What they yeah. could do, I think, to make it more interesting would be...
Rex like, Ryan's table would be, you know, middle screen.
Have that coach's breakfast and add to it a GM's breakfast.
Sure.
And an owner's breakfast.
Sure.
Because you get to... You know, if
the owners would probably have bacon and eggs.
Probably, yeah. But you get to, if you're a local affiliate and you came there specifically to talk to your coach, your GM, your owner, you can get him in those few days. That's how everybody was basically camping out, waiting for their person to come by, that group, and a couple of national people, if they're interested, they hang on too.
Right.
But the coaches thing was really well attended. It was a must attend event for reporters.
Not coaches.
Well, that's a different story. But it was really beneficial. To be able to talk to them in that setting, there were times when, like, say, Mike Shanahan, I approached his table when there was only one or two other people there because you could get more time with him.
Did you call him right. Tanahan?
No, I didn't. He was very nice. He was
Did
very nice.
Did you say
man.
That Jumbo Hart, at Jumbo
at
Hart,
Jumbo
calls,
Hart
him
calls him Tanahan?
Tanahan.
But they really,
strippers would have.
They really take their time. They answer your questions very well. It's even different than the combine because at the combine, you're at a podium.
Right.
There's a lot more people. At the table, you're sitting right there. You're face-to-face.
It's like the
it's a little
Super
different.
Bowl when we
it's,
go to the
It's
Super
a lot
Bowl.
Like the
yeah.
Super Bowl, exactly.
Right.
So I think if they did that for GMs and owners, and maybe they wouldn't have to do it for 75 minutes because maybe those groups are a little bit too busy, but even if you had 45 minutes, an hour, whatever, I think it would be really helpful and would make it more of an event.
Mm-hmm.
There was NFL Network had a camera crew in there in the coaches' meeting, so I don't think they were doing it live, but they certainly did a package or a feature
right.
on it later.
Yeah.
But I think that would be really you get to talk to them in a different setting than you normally do, and you get a little bit more out of them, I think.
And I think like even the rules that they propose, whether it's before they do the vote or after they do the vote, having whoever it is like Rich McKay come up and in front of the cameras explain what was the reasoning behind the rules,
mm-hmm.
why did we decide it at first, why did it get tweaked, why did it eventually get voted on the way it you know. And explain it, maybe with a whiteboard or whatever. But I think that fans would like that. You know?
I think you're right. There was actually, we had some, I don't think I brought it with me, you know, my whole stack of 2 inches of paperwork here. But they were handing
like
out
27 clipped items.
They were handing out the different proposals and each stage of the proposal. Like the kickoff rules, they had four or five different sheets with the rules of the proposal and, you know, amended version. And it was sort of
oh,
like
really?
Congress, like sending bills through Congress.
So they were giving out the info.
They gave out the yeah. kickoff ones.
Well, make it for...
But I think they should do it for all the proposals
and
that
make
come
it for TV.
And make it for TV, exactly.
Right, Because like Andy said, they got that network.
Yeah, I don't
it's
think
like,
it's great TV,
yeah.
but they
oh,
have
yeah.
the network.
Absolutely.
Right.
I'm fully in agreement with Fred here. I might disagree with the interest level, but... It's NFL Network.
Right.
What else are you doing?
Right. Right. And it would be a lot like...
That's how you fill a network.
It would right. be a lot like C-SPAN when they're actually
yes.
going through the tallying right. of the votes. But the draft...
And there's people that
the draft
would be interested
kind of,
in it.
The
just
draft,
like C-SPAN.
Well, the draft kind of started as C-SPAN-like. It
right.
was, you know, people in a room putting... And now look what it's turned into.
Right.
So who knows how this could
yep.
evolve over
no,
the years.
I think that...
Someday
you know,
there might be bacon and eggs.
They obviously
that's what he's thinking
maybe
about
even a waffle station.
You know, make... You know,
real maple syrup.
They claim that it's a, you know, 12-month-a-year... Lee,
it is.
You know, keep working at that. You know, keep that interest level up every month of the year.
But it was good. I'm glad we had a chance to go and cover it because we normally don't.
And so. As a totally unrelated aside, you know, you guys mentioned the similarities of the Super Bowl. It was at the same hotel that we stayed at in the Super
they
Bowl.
They changed the name?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did a little research on that.
Oh.
I noticed that Mike Reese had mentioned that.
Yeah.
It was the same hotel, so I went online and... The Roosevelt Hotel mm-hmm. is the same hotel as the Fairmont. It was originally the Roosevelt, the Fairmont company bought it and it became the Fairmont, but people in New Orleans, I guess, continue to call it the Roosevelt.
Okay.
And now they call it the Roosevelt
yeah.
again, but it's the same place that okay. we all stayed at.
That was an older hotel.
Yeah.
Nice
place.
But it was very nice.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, very nice.
I'm glad it was up to your standards.
That's
very impressive.
We actually didn't get to stay there? At the Fairmont. We stayed at a very nice place, though.
I didn't mean to pick the scale.
No.
Or the scale.
No, good, Fred. No, we stayed at a very, very comfortable hotel a couple of blocks down the street. No complaints about the accommodations.
Well, New Orleans is so easy to – that's why Fred has always been big on
that's
the –
why it's called
the
Big
Super Bowl
easy.
Should be in New Orleans every year.
Now, were you able to go out to the Rue Bourbon?
While on the Rue, did you see any tatas? We actually went to the Rue Bourbon the last time we were there when we played the Saints in 2009.
Did
so
you
I
give out any beads?
Did you see any tatas? No, but our
friend,
do you go to Bourbon Street and not
well,
some
time? It's a Monday night in March.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Our friend Nick, who was quite the night owl at the Combine, had an experience.
Oh, really?
Because it was his first time in New Orleans. Yeah. So he had a Rue Bourbon experience.
Yeah.
See? He got the experience. Eric didn't.
Yeah. Well, he's also like 25. So he was, you know, more in that age category that...
That you look for in your women?
No,
found out this is a different guy than I was thinking of, by the way.
Who, Nick Stewart?
It's a different Nick.
Is Nick the one that wears the buttons in his ear?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's the kid from BC.
Are you thinking of one of the radio guys?
Yeah. No, this is not him. This is somebody who works here, right over there somewhere.
Oh, okay.
KSP. But did get to go to the world-famous Café du Monde, where they have beignets.
Okay.
And those were delicious.
Yeah, beignets
had those.
Are good.
And got the...
Pretty sure you could put cardboard in that much powdered sugar. It'd be delicious.
Well, you would love it, Fred. The fry. Have you
those
ever had
good.
Them?
Oh, yeah.
Those
they are, but they... The powdered sugar...
Oh, there's a ceiling. There's a ceiling on fried dough and sugar. Right?
I enjoyed the Café du Monde the day after Super Bowl 31. You know, otherwise known
been
as...
in prison.
otherwise known as...
For punching a guy till he stopped breathing.
And shared a table with Marv Levy.
Oh,
he just couldn't figure it out.
That over-officious jerk.
I like this. I went to college with that official.
Nice.
So it was a good trip.
It was very nice.
Got to go and taste Bananas Foster, where they actually invented
Barry?
It.
Yeah.
At Brennan's, which was also another highlight.
You tasted Barry
of
Foster's banana?
Okay.
Okay.
I can't believe he went to Bourbon Street and
didn't
see
the one that he's
a single tata.
All right, let's stop.
How do you go to Bourbon Street and you didn't see a boob?
It probably wasn't that crowd.
It wasn't that crowd.
Well, Ian Rappaport was there, so you saw at least one boob.
Strippers!
But no, our friend Nick went to an establishment.
We should
the one with
know.
The legs coming in and
no,
out.
No, not that one. I warned him. I warned him about that.
That
one.
One's no good. You stay away from that.
No,
one.
But he a shot waitress, a little bit older.
What does her
him.
Height have to do with anything?
No.
Oh,
a shot
ahead.
Waitress.
Go ahead.
Marge? And gave him the royal Racist. Treatment as far as, you know how they try to entice you into getting a shot from
sure.
them and they
yeah.
pretty much, you know, attack you.
Give oral
right.
pleasure.
Yeah, and he got attacked pretty much. Nice. And there was...
nothing wrong with that.
I believe
talk.
The term is motorboating.
Mother bleeper.
Right?
Motorboating?
Yeah.
Her boobs.
And he,
really?
Yeah.
Like propellers?
Right.
Oh,
right.
You
never heard you motorboat? It's in
no.
Wedding Crasher.
I've never heard that.
You motorboating?
Yeah. I probably heard it, but I forgot about it.
Right now, Andy's saying, I can't believe Paul didn't say it.
All right. Well, that's good stuff.
So,
good
yeah,
stuff.
He had, we had a good time.
Did you have a hurricane, the drink of choice?
Well, I had one last time we were there.
Or a 5-gallon beer
I'd already
or whatever
done that.
They
had. I had already experienced the Bourbon Street.
You still
thing.
Haven't seen Tata's. So, you haven't experienced
we
Bourbon Street.
We saw them when we were there last time.
You should
did
see
you
them
go out last
every
time,
time you were there.
You didn't go out last time.
I don't think I did either.
No, it was you didn't.
You must
either.
Have gone with Bilo.
I went with Bilo, yeah.
Bilo goes out every trip.
Well, we
he's
like,
a party animal, that yeah. one.
He likes to experience the place where he's visiting.
It was both of our first time in 2009 when we went to Bourbon Street.
Yeah, I had enough of it than the two previous stops.
Oh, God.
I think I'm still hung over from
although
one
I might go this time because it's a little lower key. I remember I didn't care. There were too many people at the Super Bowl. That bothered me. I don't like that many people. And I remember having to, like, go off a side street, go down, and then come back on because
right.
you couldn't,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
and then when you, and then when you do that, you go past the signs that say,
right.
please stay on Bourbon Street because
you don't go
die.
Past here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's a good thing with the meetings were when they were, and I'm sure they scheduled it this way because just the week prior was
right.
was Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
So then it would have been, like, the Super Bowl times 10.
And, yeah.
So
I'm
it had
sure
that regular, you know, that nice smell. Like
the beer and urine smell.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they get these puddles there. That
they still were. Ugh. Yeah, it lasted
that close to Mardi Gras. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Good talk.
Let's get to some emails, shall we? Radio at Patriots.com. Jason in Lafayette, Indiana. And it's interesting that where he's sending this from, because it mentions Bill Polian. He says, "There's a here's a conspiracy theory I cooked up about the change in the kickoff rule. Who carries a lot of weight on the competition committee? Bill Polian. Whose team lost a playoff game in part due to a long kickoff return? Bill Polian.
That's
who has never had a specially good special teams?
To the nth degree.
Bill Polian. I'm not saying this is what happened, but it's not like it hasn't happened before. The Colts wide receivers can't get off the line, so Polian gets his change to see that. So that I see 4 or 5 illegal contact calls per game. I refer to this as the Colts rule. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Also, put me on Andy's side. Bring back Randy Moss as long as it's a short-term, low-dollar, incentive-heavy contract." So he also has a kicker with not a strong leg, so that would be another reason.
That's untrue, because Pat McAfee was one of the highest touchback guys last year.
I was thinking of the other guy.
I know you were, and that's why I had to expose you as the fraud that you are.
Now they
the other
have,
guy, we,
now
they we don't call him money. The other guy who, by the way, kicked a 50-yard field goal to put them ahead in the last minute of that game.
Now they wouldn't have
whereas
to
this
carry
team doesn't even attempt 50-yard field
but
goals.
I know he just barely snuck it in over that center bar that
indoors,
he always seems to hit.
Now they wouldn't have to carry two guys as kickers on their roster.
One's a punter.
One's McAfee.
Anything else?
He's a punter.
One's a punter. Anything else?
So who kicks off for them?
Kicks off. The punter kicks off.
But they need to have him to punt, so he's not taking a roster spot.
Next.
It's all Bill Polian, and I know you defend him all.
I'm a little.
T-ball season started early in Foxborough.
Well, the kickoff thing, they say, is 100% about safety. So I have a hard time beating up Rich McKay or Jeff Fisher or Bill Polian or anybody else
who
I think are completely unnecessary in the first place on that competition committee. This one isn't one of the ones that I would choose to say is a conspiracy.
Do you also think that maybe conspiracy-wise, because somebody brought up network breaks, they always go to a network break after the kickoff, but so often there's a flag, and that delays it, and it also then extends the game? Do you think that this is maybe cut down on the number of special teams flags and thus shorten the game?
Because you still go to the break.
You still go to the break, but now you don't have to wait for the resolution of the flag.
Well, but that could be offset by the other rule that they passed about reviewing every scoring play. Because my question is, are they going to, like, let's say Deion Branch gets 10 yards behind the defense and he's run into the end zone untouched for 50 yards. Are they going to review those?
There's just a guy looking at it.
Every scoring play will be under review, but
the
referee,
by the booth.
The referee won't
like
necessarily.
College football.
You don't recognize 98% of the play. Okay. But I'm glad you brought that up, because I think there is something interesting that was brought to my attention yesterday, and you guys might know some specifics, and I forgot about it this morning. But the whole thing with every scoring play is under review. So if it's actually ruled a touchdown, it's under review. But if it's not ruled a touchdown, it's not the same rule.
Good point.
I think so.
There's an equity in that.
I think there's an equity in that.
In other words, if they rule that the receiver didn't cross his feet in bounds and say incomplete,
and it was actually
I have to use a challenge for it now.
Yeah. So what
that's not right.
So what you're saying is
any
the rule
play in the
be,
end zone should be under review.
Any goal line play or in the end zone.
Right.
I think that that's the way it's written. I didn't do the research on this morning, but someone brought that to my attention yesterday. That can be. There's an equity to that.
Sure. Yeah, there is. And maybe they do this for a year, and then they decide, well, you know what? Maybe that's not the way to go. Maybe we just give coaches more challenges.
Well, it also depends on
give
what
them
they
two challenges
instruct the officials
per half or whatever it is.
Well, you don't need more challenges.
Scoring challenges are exempt or something. I don't know. They get an extra one, but it only
can be used for scoring. Scoring challenges are exempt if they rule it a touchdown. But if they tell people to err
on the side of touchdowns. If everything's being reviewed, we know they tell them to err on the side of certain things. You know, make sure the play plays out, don't blow your whistle, whatever. If they tell them to err on the side of, if you're close at all, call it a touchdown because it'll be reviewed. It can be fixed. It doesn't have an effect on the game. But if you don't call it a touchdown, you could affect the game. So it'll depend how they're instructed coming out of their little camps and meetings.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that if you look at it, a guy... You know, like Eric's example, Deion Branch is running down the sideline. Maybe a guy, shoestring tackle, tackles him inside the one. You know, did he get in? Did he not get in? And they rule him down. Hmm. No automatic review there.
No,
I have to use a challenge for that.
Right.
Whereas if they rule him a touchdown, the team that's fighting against that doesn't have to waste a challenge.
Correct.
That's not right.
Yeah.
They should change. They should
anything that's involving a score,
yeah,
or not, Fred's right. Should be under review
from the goal line through the end zone. Anything that happens in that area, just review it.
Yeah,
you know, and you shouldn't have to waste a challenge on that if it happens, you know, in that kind of fashion. What do you guys think of that rule in general? Does it matter to you guys at all?
No.
Doesn't matter to me at all.
The every touchdown. No, it doesn't matter.
Because that seems to be locally. You know, our boy Felger is on a rant about this. You know, why are you going to do this? Now there's going to be these pile ups in the middle, and they're going to just, you know how like sometimes you can't see the ball, you don't know where the ball. He thinks every one of these touchdowns is now going to be reviewed. No, has he ever watched a college football game?
Right, exactly.
When every play is under review and it doesn't really intrude on the watching at all. I mean, there are times I think they get a little bit too much with the call on college, but I don't think it's a lot.
Look, you know, I'd rather have it this new way than a coach who has run out of, you know, challenges or has one left, doesn't want to waste it. You know, has to make that decision. I don't think it's fair for the coach to have to make the decision. If you have the technology to get it right, use the technology.
I agree. And I do think that it makes some sense on those touchdowns because there are times when the guys, let's just say it's how many times have you seen like a first and goal from the one? And the guy runs and, you know, like the Adrian Peterson touchdown last year that was on fourth down. So it was challenged. And they upheld it, remember?
Right.
It was late in the half. I think it was an automatic challenge. I forget what down it was. But first and goal, maybe you don't want to waste a challenge. You say, well, why am I going to waste a challenge? Even if I'm right, they got the ball inside the one. They got three more cracks. I'm not going to – well, now you don't have to worry about wasting your challenge.
Right.
You know? And so I do think it's probably a good thing.
Yep.
I did want to bring up, I noticed in the Rob Gronkowski thing last night, did you see NFL Network is now doing top 100 players active? Same way they did the top 100 of all time, 10 per episode leading up to
where
starts
James
after
Sanders
the draft.
Where did James Sanders fit in?
It hasn't started yet, but I actually do think for Patriots fans, it will be a topic of discussion. Why is Vince Wilfork so slow and so low, and why is Tom Brady not number one if he's not number one? I mean, I would assume Brady will be in the top two. I would assume it'll come down to Manning Brady, right?
Top five anyway. Yeah.
I think it's going to be Brady number one. I think there's a very good chance it's going to be
Brady's
Tom Brady.
I think Brady's going to be
number one, too. You think so?
Yeah. It's a quarterback league, and those are the two best quarterbacks. And
I think
now,
Peyton Manning will be, too.
He's on the top of that. It'll flip next year. But I think that's a very interesting series that they're starting, I believe, the night of the draft or the Sunday after the draft and goes 10 per episode.
And who is deciding this?
It's at current players. It's voted by players.
Oh, by the players.
Voted on by players for current players.
So we've seen a lot of the Sporting News.
So you still think that Brady's going to be number one?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Sporting News does it every year, and they have that panel, that huge panel of coaches, ex-coaches, scouts.
I like this one, current players.
But I like the idea of current players.
Hopefully it's a good sampling. I hope they have a I don't know how they did it.
It's an impossible thing to do. I mean, ranking 100 players.
Oh, I love it.
But I love that.
It's like when we do the roster in the paper and you're like, who's number 48? Who's number 49? Who's 53?
Who was the one that you had way out of whack, Eric, last year?
One?
There was one in particular
one?
That was like...
Well, I think he had Brian Hoyer in the top five, which I thought was a little weird.
I did have Hoyer, and
top five,
I had Hoyer like 31.
He had him really
32,
high.
32, something like that. And I had him above...
Interesting.
Somebody else, another starter.
Copen, I believe.
Copen, I think.
Well, he had Brian Hoyer ahead of Dan Copen.
Well, the position gives him more weight. Let's
How about the fact that one guy has started for 5 years and the other guy doesn't play?
The position gives him more weight. Backup quarterback, starting center.
Well, because they only had two quarterbacks, and if Brady goes down...
They only had one center.
Well, no, they have more offensive linemen that can take that place. Brady goes down, they only had one
guy. A Pro Bowl caliber center.
Todd in Wyoming
writes
gone
to the Pro Bowl, so you're allowed to say Pro Bowl caliber.
Andy is right, as usual,
on
trading up for Quinn and getting the veteran minimum for Randy Moss because he has to reprove his worth. Remember how right Andy was on Rob G-Force Gronkowski and Brendan Hall. And, Brooklyn Matt, stop being such an arrogant wannabe douche.
He's not a wannabe.
No, he's a douche.
Maybe I like Andy because he has the same dry, cocky sense of humor as my dry humor, Andy. It's anything but dry humor.
Andy's hit you over the head humor. It's nothing dry about it.
My cocky is wet.
P.S. Andy made me enjoy Jimmy Sanders as much as I enjoyed Troy Brown. So you've made a convert to somebody.
Well, you know, if you truly watch James Sanders play, I don't know how you cannot appreciate his game.
Yeah. James in Brisbane, Australia says, I had the thought that given the NFL wants to majorly change the kickoff rule, I thought I'd put forward my own proposal. Why not make it the same as rugby union kickoff? Basically, the rule is the kicker does a drop kick from the halfway line, 50-yard line, the NFL, and all the ball has to do is travel 10 meters or yards. There's no fair catch, so each kickoff could be a contest for possession. In this proposal, each team has the option to go long or deep and create a different sort of excitement for kickoffs. I know it will never happen, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it. At least it sounds interesting. No? Yeah, no.
If you go long, you go deep, too, right?
You know, the other thing I was thinking about...
I lost interest with the long and deep.
With the 5-yard, you can't line up five. I think that's more about onside kicks than it is the kickoff. Because guys, you know, they line up like 10 yards back and just blow the first guy up, and then the guy behind him recovers the
ball.
And
they'll still do that.
They'll still do
they
it,
will.
But
they
it's
won't
not
have
as
much force.
I still go with, show me an athlete who at 15 yards is not moving close to his full speed.
Aren't we seeing more teams risk onside kicks a little bit more and more unorthodox times?
You see a lot more of the kicker kicking it like straight ahead.
You think that's
and then
because of the how
like
far they can run?
I think the league is seeing, you know, we're seeing more onside kicks than we used to. That's part of the safety thing because that is a big play where that first guy comes in and just blows
but
up.
They not on trick onside kicks, it's not.
Right.
I agree with your premise that we're seeing more onside kicks. I don't have the stats, but it's just the eyeball test. I think Fred's right. I think there has been more guys, more teams that have used him in, strange times of the game, like Green Bay last year.
Yeah.
Right.
On the opening kickoff against the Patriots and obviously, the Saints in the Super Bowl.
Jimmy.
But I don't think those are the ones that you're talking about that the idea is to blow a guy up. The idea there is I saw something on tape. This team consistently leaves that line before the ball's kicked.
But the Andy Hart at Tufts.
And we're going to try to trick them.
But once you do the kickoff, the usual strategy for the team is first guy blows up.
But that's a desperation onside kick.
That's
when you have the kick, the hands team out
there. It's a mental
No one got
challenge.
Hit on the Patriots on that kick last year.
Yeah, it's about getting a guy off.
All the more reason why Jimmy Sanders should have had it.
Hey.
No, they weren't there. That's the point. There was no need to go in and blow someone up, as you so eloquently put it.
Well, that's what they do.
Yeah. On the trick one. I mean, on the desperation ones at the end of the game, when you have 8 or 9 guys up by the 50-yard line or wherever, the 40-yard line, right?
Don't understand why you can't get up to full speed in 15 yards.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I don't know. I don't know what.
I mean, maybe Toby Gerhardt can't, but most players in the NFL.
Yeah. Jonathan Dwyer, no chance.
Well, he's not on the field. He's inactive. So.
Mike Gerken writes in.
Hey, Pickle.
I was listening to a podcast with Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, and they said that trading of future draft picks will not be allowed this year because of the CBA issues. I was under the impression that no players could be traded for picks, but this is the first I had heard of future picks not being able to be traded as well. Is this true?
First I've heard of it.
If so,
you were under the risk.
Last week they said something about that you can't trade for future draft picks. I don't know. I haven't seen that officially from the NFL.
I thought it was
that people writing
about risk.
If so, this really limits the Patriots because they almost always move picks to the next year's draft. It also makes me think that the Patriots will be very aggressive moving around this year, including moving up early, then moving down later to recoup some of those picks. Finally, I have come up with some slogans for this year's draft. Ready? He's got some slogans. Number one.
Want to win? Go get Flynn.
If
I
he
mean
is
Quinn.
Still there at 9 or 10, we must trade up for Robert Quinn.
10 and Quinn?
Well, 10.
Tin, 19.
I know outside linebacker is a need, but please don't draft Arizona's Brooks Reed.
Saw him got killed on a lot of running plays today.
Number three, if we miss on Robert Quinn, why not draft Ryan Kerrigan? Number four, a big fan I am not, but at 17, I could see J.J. Watt. And finally,
these aren't bad, actually.
If wide receiver,
they're very indie-like, you know, dry
humor, but cocky.
Number five, if wide receiver is your draft dream, let's move up for A.J. Green.
Green and dream don't rhyme.
Okay. Well, he's Mike Gerken.
Stick to the pickles.
He's working his Gerken.
Easy.
Want a winner? Go get Miller.
Right.
if you like to,
Come on, go. No, don't stop.
No.
We don't stop on this show.
We don't stop on this show.
We don't stop on this show.
It had to do with pickles at her dill and getting your fill. So I that's, I won't say anything more.
What more do you have to say? You just said it.
Well played, Bauer.
Let's see. Pierre says, this has nothing to do with football, but I know how Andy has a craving for breasts. So yes. We might like to see this, and he sends a link, and plan his next vacation accordingly. Great job on all the draft coverage, and I agree with you. The Pats should move up to get a special player.
We should debunk something. Speaking of the moving up, there was a useless post on Pro Football Talk yesterday that said connecting the dots on the Chargers-Pats rumor of trade.
Oh, I mean, this is egregious.
Well, first of all, the post said nothing. There was nothing in the post that wasn't already available in the Kevin Acey story. I don't understand the post. It was stupid. But it also had a note in there that said Bill Belichick and Andy Reid have traded in every draft since Belichick came here. It's just not true.
They traded the first year, 2000.
And the last year, 2009.
Two years ago.
I mean, I don't know what Paul's guy, Greg Rosenthal, was smoking when he wrote the post, but it's just not – there's no fact base in it.
It's not like either –
It's not even close.
Yeah, it's not like they went 2000 to 2008 or 2009, right. Skipped
and
to 2010.
And he was skimming and just happened to miss a year where they didn't.
There was almost an entire decade in between.
Right. Terrible.
Ridiculous.
Stupid.
Did you call him my guy again?
He's your guy.
And we're going to fight.
Who has?
I think he's the most useless guy out there.
Of all the teams, who has Bill Belichick traded with the most?
I don't know.
Do we know that?
That is a good question.
Sounds like a football thing you don't care about.
Yeah.
Green Bay?
I think we'll have to look at that. We'll do that
Chicago?
For a football thing we don't care about.
Chicago.
I don't know. I'm just throwing names out there.
Yeah. Al Davis doesn't know it, but we've made
Chicago's
got
to be in there.
Al Davis.
Raiders has to be up there. We'll do that for this next issue.
By we, you mean you, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay, good.
All right. Let's see. Giovanni writes in, I think the best Madden cover would be a shot of Stevie Johnson dropping a game-winning touchdown. As Kyle said, I also think that worse than Danny Woodhead on a Madden cover would be the Seattle 12th man on a Madden cover. Then instead of a Seattle fan seeing Woodhead on the cover and asking, who's this a-hole, us Patriots fans can see Seahawk fans on the cover and ask, who are these a-holes? Which of these would you rather see on the Madden cover? Roger Goodell giving the middle finger, a barefoot Rex Ryan, Robert Quinn tackling Nolan Narwaki,
yes,
Rodney Mayo, Russell Hoge, or AC Green in a Celtics uniform. Good, Giovanni. Anyway, I thought about something the other day that has not, at least to my knowledge, been talked about on sports networks, and that is, if the lockout falls through and there is no agreement and eventually no season, how will that impact NCAA football? Would it become far more popular? And as always, Jets are garbage, and he's awesome, and Ken Walter rules. I think it would help. NCAA, you know, college football a little bit.
Some.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, there's a...
Well, I mean, like, if you're in the middle of October, I got to do stuff on the weekend. I got to get this stuff done. You might decide, oh, I'm going to do it on Saturday because I can't miss the NFL. But now you might be, oh, I'm going to do it on Sunday and watch college football on Saturday.
And is there a chance some college games will be on Sunday?
Maybe.
If there's no competition?
If I'm the network, I'm calling up the NCAA and filling those slots.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. I'm not putting on figure skating.
That was so random.
Well, you know,
putting
on
figure skating. The only thing about
that yelling
is
at?
Contractually, who knows?
Right.
You know, like, so Fox and CBS would lose their NFL games. Now, CBS has a deal with the SEC. They have a game on every Saturday. Maybe they could easily just put that game on Sunday.
Right.
Fox, to my knowledge, doesn't have any deal other than the BCS.
Right.
That could get tricky, though, if they try to do that in advance and then in between. So they reschedule it to a Sunday, and then all of a sudden there's an agreement at the last second.
Right.
You know, then they have to change it back. I think you're in tricky territory there. I think they should just keep it the way it is, and they'll just get better ratings on Saturdays.
And the UFL might benefit now that Marty Schottenheimer and Jerry Glanville are in the league. Why are you rolling your eyes?
I just think that's nonsense.
Why?
Just
I like it.
It's poor to me.
Why?
All right. Let's take a break. We got a lot of emails. We'll get back to them right after this.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast.
Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter
of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. Eric's back from New Orleans from the owner's meeting. Paul has bought lunch for me from CBS Scene. It's delicious. And we're getting to your emails and phone calls. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-543-7482. And the email is webradio@patriots.com. So Andy dreams about breasts. We all know that. But, you know,
I thought it was off.
The proliferation of Patriots/PFW dreams among ourselves and our listeners has increased. And to wit, I'll read Colin in Belgium's email that he sent in. It's very interesting. Then I have a dream that I want to share.
I have a dream. I have an awesome dream.
But Colin writes in, again, he's from Belgium. He says, I recently had a PFW-related dream, and I know how you guys like these, so I thought I'd share it with you. This one involved Fred. First of all, a quick little background. In the real world, I've been doing a bunch of renovations on my house, hardwood floors, new kitchen, new fireplace. It looks really good. Also in the real world, I'm currently on a ski vacation in the Alps, and the bed in the apartment I rented is too small. I'm about 6 foot tall. It's about 5'10". As a result, I sleep terribly. So in the dream, I vaguely work at PFW in some fashion, kind of like Paul, And I'm talking with Fred about how I'm not happy with my electrician, who still has one or two things to finish. And I ask Fred if he knows a good one, and he says he'll think about it. So I go on my ski trip, and when I get home, I find my house is destroyed. My floors are ripped up, my kitchen is demolished, and 6 inches of cement has been poured over my beautiful fireplace. While I'm surveying the wreckage, weeping, a tiny car pulls up, and workmen start piling out of it like a clown car. After 10 or so comes Fred Kirsch, wearing a yellow hard hat and carrying a clipboard, looking quite a bit like Bob the Builder. Now, is that the guy that goes, "We can build it"?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. As he starts to proudly show me the work his guys have done, I notice that they are all different versions of Andy Hart. So I lay into Fred, "What the F were you thinking? It was finished. What the hell did you do?" Meanwhile, all the Andy clones are saying, "Sure, sure. I told you so, boss." As I'm screaming at Fred, he's saying, "Yeah, but," and gesturing pathetically to the cheap Christmas tree lights he strung up everywhere in the 1950s era refrigerator he's replaced with my brand new Bosch fridge with. I guess Bosch is a big name in refrigerators.
Higher end in Europe. Here too.
Okay. Just as Eric appears to discuss the bill, I wake up suddenly and find my wife staring at me, asking me, "Who the hell is Fred? You were talking in your sleep saying, 'What the hell, Fred?' over and over. I thought you were dreaming about being attacked by some guy called Fred." "Oh, well, love the show, obviously, since you guys have invaded my subconscious. Keep up the good work and stay the hell away from my house." So
that's a great dream.
It is.
Sad for him, but.
I look like Bob the Builder.
I can see that.
With the hat, with the yellow with the hard yellow hat, hat on, definitely.
Yeah. That's great. That's a good dream.
That is a good dream. But, you know, Paul was only in it by inference.
Is it going to be topped by yours now?
Yeah, I was the only. That's because I don't really work here.
Yeah, that's right.
As you pointed out.
Eric was discussing the bill, and Andy was the workers saying, sure.
All the workers.
How was I different? Because he said there were like 10 different versions of me.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see what they, how they were different, what they looked like. Did one have like a G-Force jersey on, the next one had a Sanders jersey?
They all had massive heads.
I don't know.
Shut up.
But that was interesting. So that got me thinking about a dream I had the other night. It's a weird dream. It was
Most of those
Inception-type dreams, very complicated dream. But at one point, I'm outside walking, and I'm with Bill Belichick. And we're walking. He's got somewhere to go, and I'm following him. And he's walking at a very fast pace, so I'm trying to keep up. In the meantime, I'm thinking in the dream to myself, this is a good opportunity for me to, you know, maybe establish a relationship for him.
Make some inroads.
You know, get to know him a little better, get for him to know me. So we start talking, and I'm talking about Seinfeld. "Do you watch Seinfeld? Have you ever seen this episode?" And I'm like, "Do you see Festivus?" And, like, he's kind of saying, "Yeah, I've kind of seen it, but I really haven't." So I'm explaining Seinfeld to him.
It's a show about nothing.
Yeah, and I'm mentioning all the bits of Seinfeld, and I can tell that I kind of have his attention, but not really. So I'm really trying hard. And, like, in my dream, I'm thinking to myself, this isn't working. This isn't working. So we keep walking. We finally get to this restaurant. And at that point, he's with his lady friend. And she has two daughters. And they're going into the restaurant. And I'm going to go in the restaurant too. But one of the daughters is shining shoes outside the restaurant. She's young. She's like a little kid. Not in real life, but in the dream. And so she's shining shoes. And I'm thinking, you know what? I should probably do this, you know, to make up for the Seinfeld stuff that didn't work too well. So I said, okay, yeah, you can shine my shoes. So she shines my shoes, and then I said, okay, how much do I owe you? It was $59 plus a $5 tip. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm really getting screwed here. But I can't say anything because I don't want to ruin the conversation. So that was the dream.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Is that a Mark Tape dream? Or?
If you want. Yeah, fine.
No, I'm not sure we need to replay that
too many times.
Yeah. We all want our jobs.
Yeah, we could probably avoid that. Well,
there was nothing wrong with it. I mean, there was nothing offensive in it.
I was mildly offended.
Oh, okay.
$59 for a shoe shine, that's offensive.
That's pretty offensive.
Just an FYI, strippers said it's synthol that the guy at the gym is shooting in his arms. And here's a photo, Fred, of what it looks like.
Okay, let me look. Oh, my God.
That's what the guy at the gym looks like.
Oh, that's disgusting.
That. Yes.
Why would anyone want to look like that?
I don't know. Freakish.
Oh, ask
horrified.
Andy.
Literally, ask Andy why he wants to look
this
like
guy that the picture that Andy's showing me, it literally looks like he has two watermelons on his arm.
Yeah.
And
they don't even resemble muscles.
No, that's my point. If a guy had arms that big and they were muscles, you'd be like, oh, my God, that guy has the biggest arms I've ever seen. This is just Freak show.
They look.
It's a freak show. That's what it is.
Yeah, they look like
circus.
They look like tumors.
Yeah. Oh. That's what the guy looks like.
Not a tumor.
I don't know why anyone would want to look like
that's
that.
That's why I think
Andy, hold that thing up to the glass.
What?
So, you know
which thing? Leave his thing alone. Do that on your own time.
Andy's going to moon Kevin in a minute.
Oh, it won't be the moon he gets.
Oh.
He'll hit the full Monty.
No, because that's what you
would
want.
That's gross.
You're gay.
I'm with Fred. Those look like...
Does that make you gay?
Let's have them show us our penis. Or show them...
All right, are you asleep and put your penis in my mouth? That makes you gay.
What?
Zach writes in, anyone, stop reading bad Kevin's emails. He says, anybody who refers to one of you fine gentlemen as a D-bag doesn't deserve to have his thoughts read on your show.
Unless
you guys should show more pride in yourselves. Put bad Kevin in the penalty
box. Olive?
Yeah.
With garlic inside?
Now, wait a minute.
No.
Oh. Sicilian olive.
That's a big olive. I think it's got synthol in it.
Sicilian message. If we didn't read the emails that refer to one of us as a D-bag, we'd
slow show.
No longer be, listener-driven
we'd
radio.
Be out of the email reading business.
Mitch in Wyoming writes in, between learning the Kirsch guide to partying, Paul's erotic encounters, and Eric's best
Jody line
Christopher Walken impression on Patriots Today, Tuesday show has to be one of the best I've listened to in a while. You guys do such a great job at bringing us fans through this odd offseason. I've sent my Go PFW email to the front office. I have a quick question about this year's draft picks. We obviously have enough ammunition to move up
or
into
down.
The top three without losing any normal picks, having one per round. That's Andy's theory.
I think it's four we could. Oh, maybe three. You're right.
But in looking at the top 10, there are only a few teams that I think would make a deal with the Pats so that they can move up to get someone. What teams do you think New England could get a good buddy discount? Someone like Shanahan taking a little bit less of a trade because of his friendship with Bill. Thanks, and once again, go Andy and Eric, you suck.
Well, I don't know if it's the friendship with Bill, but I think that Washington one we've talked a lot about is a potential
target. If I'm an owner or GM and I find out that my coach or made a deal because they're friends.
I don't get why do we need to have it on the cheap? Why can't we just make a trade that's fair for both sides? And I agree with Andy. I think Washington's won because I think the Redskins need picks. And matter of fact, Florio, I think, wrote about it today. They're in a precarious spot. They probably need a quarterback. They're in a spot where they're probably not going to have access to Gabbard or Newton, and the other guys aren't worth taking that high. So they might be looking for more picks. They lost some mid-round picks, at least one in the McNabb trade. That's why I think.
Two, right?
But I don't think that you need to be looking, who can we trade up with on the cheap? Who do we have a good relationship with that might – why are we looking for that?
Well, if you can.
No, sure, if you can, then you want to give up the least you can. You don't want to give away your assets unless you have to. But that wouldn't preclude me from trading up. If that's what it costs to trade up, let's do it if we have a guy that we like.
Do it.
Dallas, we talked about those two teams on Tuesday's show.
Where's
Dallas, a lot of people think that they are looking for a tackle.
What's that now?
And there's really not one worthy of taking in the top 10.
Right,
I don't.
But there are a lot of good offensive tackles.
Pile?
Free agents, drafts, previews.
He's got 7 million documents. Anytime
Andy's
we reference something.
He's trying to figure out the other teams that might be interested.
You know what? This might,
like
be
I know,
candidate. Actually, this might have it.
Yeah, find it in there. I know like 1, 2, 3, 4, but what's in that 5, 6, 7, 8 range? Like Cincinnati at 4.
Cincinnati.
It could be another candidate. They need a quarterback.
Now that's one that you would have to be.
Right?
That's one that you'd have to be on the buddy system.
Okay. There've been no.
I don't know if
no
you
trades,
want to give up
right?
as much that it needs to get up to number
there
four.
There have been no trades.
Okay, so we've got Carolina 1, Denver, Buffalo, 4, Cincinnati,
right.
Arizona's at 5, Cleveland.
Arizona needs a quarterback if they don't get one of the first two.
That's
maybe
right.
They want out.
Cleveland, San Fran. Potentially looking for a quarterback there.
Harbaugh.
Yep. Tennessee. Dallas, then Washington at 10.
I think Cleveland's a possibility for a team that we could be interested in trading with, too, at 6. I mean, I don't necessarily
they
care as much about the quarterback.
Right.
They don't.
There's no love lost between
Holmgren
those two.
And,
Holmgren?
Yeah, they don't care for each other. They rub
really?
Each other the wrong
What's
way.
What's that all about?
I don't know.
What's the deal? I didn't know they had a thing.
Well, I don't know that they have a thing. Clearly, Holmgren, I've read enough and heard him talk enough about Belichick that he doesn't care for the Belichick way.
Really?
Yeah.
Unlike Bill Polian?
What do you mean?
Napoleon came out glowingly about the Patriots draft.
Which, by
strategy.
The way, right. I thought that was funny the way that
he
was
hates
written.
The Patriots, not what they
Bill
do.
Bill Polian has exactly the same draft strategy that Bill Belichick does, and the same basic philosophy on building a team.
It's a good feature in PFW, building up or something like that. I wrote it.
Bill
Polian.
Bill Polian hates the Patriots, but he doesn't hate the Patriot way.
I don't
way.
Even think he hates the Patriots. No. He hates losing to the Patriots.
Yeah,
that's what he
the
hates.
The same way we hate the Colts.
He hates the fact that he lost to the Patriots. That's what he hates. Now, maybe a little personal there, but I still think that's two alpha males urinating on each other, basically.
Probably.
Another one. Very eloquently put.
What?
But well put. Accurate.
Yes.
I didn't say pissing.
You can say it once.
He looks around.
LT from Adelaide writes in. He says, lay off Eric, as in stop picking on him, not lay him off.
Oh, all right.
I must say
either
that,
or.
I must say that the last few weeks have been the best of PFW that I have heard in a while. All of you are in rare form, including Eric, when he doesn't mean to be, as his dress sense in Patriots Today suggests. Oh, so... We have to lay off you, but he doesn't.
Yeah, evidently.
I have a.
He got all indignant. Yeah.
I have a few questions for you guys. Can you guys clarify whether, with the lockout in effect, the teams are able to trade for future draft picks? We had that question earlier.
I don't believe you are.
Can right you send
now.
An email right now?
I can't.
Oh.
Because it involves doing two things at once, and I'm incapable of doing that. What well, do you want? What, you want to send an email to who?
I'll send it.
What you could do is send an email, and we could talk amongst ourselves.
Right.
Like, I could explain how...
Oh, I'll send it.
After the show on Tuesday, I actually spent some time doing a search on that woman that we had been talking about.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find her.
Okay.
Oh. You know, Andy was putting me on the spot. So what was her name?
Jill.
Jody.
Jody with an I.
Right.
It was funny. I logged on
I know
the
her last
day.
Name now, too. I can't say it on the air, but I know
Don't
it.
Say it on the air.
I logged on to Facebook the other day, and sure enough, in my little chat window, Paul Perillo pops up. Paul Perillo is on. I almost chatted you.
Wait,
but
whoa. Which, as you know, I spend about 30
know,
seconds a week
know,
on Facebook.
But I was
what,
like,
what's this all about? Hi-ho.
His wife will be happy to know he's searching
he's
for his
searching
purse.
For another, cruising for another chick on Facebook. But I almost chatted him, and I was like, no, his head will explode if I try to talk to him on this thing.
Can I give clues as to the last name?
No.
I'll find her.
Just don't.
Anyway, I'll find her, Andy.
Because there's at least a remote chance that some loser from Everett that knows me will know who you're talking about. And I don't want that to happen.
Loser anyway, from Everett? That's
let me finish LT's
it's redundant.
Email.
This is from a guy with a Superfan t-shirt.
It's like when I said male penises.
I don't
loser
super,
from Everett?
I don't have a Superfan.
I don't have the same. I don't wear Superfan stuff.
I don't. I just wear a BC sweatshirt.
Loser. Speaking of losers.
LT from Adelaide says, it seems that a lot of draft experts, that is Mel Kiper Jr., Todd McShay.
Andy Hart.
And Paul Perillo, just kidding. Fred Kurtz reading straight from our lads. Andy Hart, sorry, Eric. Think that there is a lot of defensive line / pass rushing talent. Is there any prospect besides Robert Quinn that you would think is an elite talent that you would trade up to about pick 10 to take if they fall?
Maybe Von Miller.
Well, we got it. Bowers slipping here is an interesting guy.
What do you think of him in terms of possibility of being?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
What did you say?
I don't think he's a three-down outside linebacker.
He's not that big.
I know, but I don't. He
seems like more of a fatty than the other guys.
He plays big.
Who are you talking about?
He plays like a biggin.
Daquan Bowers.
Oh. He, to me, he's a straight ahead, hand on the ground. It's like Adrian Claiborne and Cameron Jordan. Cameron Jordan, I said, maybe. Adrian Claiborne.
No.
Who himself also said no.
And
but they're within
the
like
size.
4 pounds of each other, and you're just like, it is what it is. It's a certain...
Yeah, I mean, that's my initial reaction was the same. I don't know as much about these guys because obviously, you know, the emails will tell you. You missed a draft.
Or I'll tell you.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think that he's... I think he's strictly a defensive lineman. And
who, Bowers?
Yeah, and if
but
that's
the question,
if
is
that's
as a
the
pass
case,
rusher, do you just want him?
Can he be? Probably, he's probably not a fit.
No, he's probably not. But I was,
if he's just a defensive
you
lineman,
you know, the little thing I've been on that. How often do I see Tully Bantakane drop into space? How often do I see Jermaine Cunningham running down the field
but
in coverage?
But do you want to draft
the
guy?
Feet?
Do you want to draft a guy at number 10 that you're not going to ask to play every down?
If you think he's the best pass rusher in the draft, yes.
If you think he can't play every down,
yes.
I don't think I want him.
Yes.
I disagree with you.
I'll take him.
As,
we paid
as controversial
like
as $6
million dollars to the guy who can't do every down now in Tully Bantakane. I'll take the guy 10th in the draft. If he can get to the quarterback, I'll take him.
He might not be very good at playing every down, but he does play every down.
No, he was a situational player at the end of last year.
But that's Ninkovic not what they,
not what they paid him for. They didn't intend for him to end up that way.
Oh, that's even worse.
Well, it is, but that's, you know, the intention there was for him to be an every down player.
So he rode the roller coaster over the last 18 months. Because Bill said when they brought him back from San Francisco, you know, we really streamlined his role and we asked him to do a – then all of a sudden he was a starter late in the year. Then they signed him to starter money and he was a backup again.
Andy, it's an inexact science.
No kidding. Good thing they're not making bombs. They'd be blowing up left and right.
LT also says, I guess Eric didn't wear a V-neck Argyle in New Orleans. But
he did today.
But I thoroughly enjoyed his reports for Patriots Today. He is much, much better than B-Low, who just B-Lows. I would love to buy you guys lunch, so just let me know how to do that from Australia.
Put this guy on the list for next Thursday.
Who's this?
Don't delete that. Don't delete that.
Yan Yankatube?
I'll tell you.
No, LT from Adelaide.
Yan Yankatube.
In defense of B-Low, B-Low has really polished.
A number of bishops in his day.
He's really. You can see the confidence that he has now in front of the camera.
It borders on arrogance. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh,
have you seen him? He's become a TV guy. They're all like that.
Well, that's what you got to be.
Okay.
When you're on TV, you got to be a TV guy.
You got to take yourself super seriously?
I don't think he does
that.
What
do you mean?
Oh, I do.
Where are you going?
In what way?
What
are you talking about?
He's become a little bit of a TV guy.
Can I pick the scab here?
But
what are you talking
exactly
about?
Do you mean?
Off the air?
I don't know. That's what. No, there is no scab. I'm just observing.
Off the air? Is this a problem?
I don't think so. For who? B-Lo might have a problem with it, but he isn't.
He's going to have it now. We'll have to listen to you rip him.
But I think all those.
Matter of fact, if he didn't hear it, I'm going to go tell him.
Sal Palin, they all have an
arrogance. Come on.
To
him. Brian
you can't Lowe equate
and Sal Palantonio in the same
you
sentence.
You can't equate the two.
He started wearing the dark jeans with the untucked club shirt, a sweater
I'm
over
really
it untucked.
I'm upset with you now.
He just went a little that way.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
I think you're exaggerating.
Maybe.
Significantly.
No, not significantly.
Yeah. I mean, you putting those two
he
guys
he used to
in the
be the
sentence.
Quiet Revs intern, and now he's like TV star.
So he's more confident and comfortable
yeah,
with
exactly.
what
he's
doing. But it doesn't mean he's turned into Sal Pal.
Yeah, a little bit.
Is
he's
it
getting,
true?
You know, Eric to call him Ace.
Andy, is it true that you have to wear sweaters upside down because you can't get your head through the hole?
He then looks around for approval.
How long have you been working on that one?
After we delivered
I just thought
line.
Of it. Sam and Brighton, I think the Patriots are going to trade up and take Von Miller.
Could be.
I think that is why when the Patriots traded Seymour, they insisted that the pick was 2011. They thought it would be a top 10 pick. Also, all of the Patriots' first-round picks since 05 have a last name that start with M. So Miller would keep that going. That's a fun fact.
Okay.
Merriweather.
Maroney.
Mankins. Wasn't it either
Mayo,
an M or a W?
Mankins.
You flip it over.
Right.
It was M or W.
We did that in the paper.
Same letter. You flip
as a clipboard.
McCourty.
Right. McCourty. Yeah.
So Alden Smith wouldn't be a candidate. Quinney's out.
Kerrigan. See ya.
That's too
J.J.
bad.
Watt.
Interesting.
In the mix.
Boy, a lot of emails.
I hope not, but.
Von Miller in the mix.
That was the whole point
that was
of the
first
guy's email.
One.
This is why people make fun of you.
And this is from EEI, but we brought it up. According to them, in their Is What It Is column, Chris with a T-I-A-N sends it in. He says, Al Davis and the Raiders have made 8 trades with the New England Patriots since 2000, more than any other franchise.
Okay. Mm.
So we guessed at that.
Raiders are one of the teams that we supposed.
The Bears had made 5.
The Bears just did the most to help us.
Right.
Well, yeah, maybe.
I mean, they won a title for us.
Yeah.
Because if we don't get Ted Washington in 03, we don't win.
That's true.
And we don't get those cool T-shirts that said Homeland Defense.
And they basically gave them to us.
This is a good one. This is
this is a good one.
Jeremy in Worcester writes
$1.25 pup.
And he says, here is the second annual Andy Seymour Richard draft, along with the new edition, the Paul Kaholic draft.
Paul Kaholic.
As always, all players are draft eligible this year, according to CBSSports.com. So this is Andy's Seymour Richard draft. Brandon Bunn, Sean Chappis.
I just saw him yesterday.
Davin Dumas.
Dumas.
Matt Sidebottom. Marcus Ball.
That's Gino Sidebottom.
Kevin Dix. Matt Wenger. Landon Cox. Rod Johnson.
That's a good one.
Richard Dixon, Stevie Harden, Zach Stifler, Matt Grabner,
Stifler,
Chris Fuchs, It's also Oops. Pronounced Trevor Deed and Tracy Slocum.
Oh.
And the
that's Slocum. It's not Slocum.
That's tough. That's a tough one.
And the Paul Kahalik draft goes as such: C. Bailey, Myron Beck, Richard Brewer, Mason Foster, Jimmy Hobson, C. E. Kaiser, Joe Morgan, James Walker, Colin Wagner, Jack Daniels, and Guy Miller. So there we go.
That's good.
Very good.
Good. Good homework.
No Budweiser in there.
No.
No Bud.
Carling Black Label. These traditional names, they're all gone.
Glenn Livich, Glenn Fittich, Rod Johnson.
Something with a Glenn. What's the other one that you like? Stella?
Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross.
Stella.
Eleanor writes in. She has a quick question. She says, hey, guys, remember when Paul didn't know what a hashtag was? Great radio. As Robert Quinn continues to slide down draft boards because of his brain tumor, will Andy apologize to Nolan Nowacki?
Nowacki? No.
If they didn't know about the tumor.
How is the tumor any different today than it was 2 years ago when he had it?
Yeah.
It's the same tumor. Most of it was removed. He hasn't had a headache since high school. There's a little bit left.
Is he sliding down draft boards?
I don't know. He is a prospect who's all over the place.
Yeah, Eleanor was saying if he does slide down the draft board, who knows?
I've seen him as high as 2 and as low as whatever Nolan Nowacki had him at in the second round.
And even if that happens, there's no need for us to apologize to someone who's afraid to come on the radio show.
That's true.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Chris Ferreira all worked up over it, though. Apparently he just found out about it recently. Why are you so high on a guy with a brain tumor? He could be dead in a year or something, he said. And I'm like, so could anybody.
If it's a Chris to put it in perspective.
The guy is now 4 or 5 years removed from the tumor, 4 years removed, and hasn't had a single problem since. Now, I need the doctors to sign off on it, but I'm assuming they have. They're aware of it. It's not ideal, but move on.
So it's in there. They haven't removed it.
They removed a
portion of it.
The chunk of it, but part of it they couldn't remove or it would have affected his brain.
Yeah.
Right.
Too close to the...
But it's a benign tumor. The little portion that's left.
Yeah.
You're taking a chance. Okay, there's a little bit of a chance there. Adrian Claiborne has that, whatever, nerve disease. Taking a chance. He seems to be sliding. I see the risk. I've always said I like my first round picks to be perfect. You know, you don't want any risks at all. You don't want alcohol. You don't want off field. You don't want a tumor. You don't want a this.
Right.
But, you know.
Jimmy Hitchcock didn't have ligaments.
Right.
So it made him a third round pick.
Right.
But, I mean, could he slip? Then, okay, take him where he slips to. Take him at 17. Take him at 28. Just take him.
Greg from the billing department, the perfect push-up actually works. I use it first.
If you do it.
Start working out and put a starting foundation on me. I mean, I use some barbells as well, but it's good to use to start or restart working out. And, yes, the ladder method does work, and I haven't used it since high school on the football team. So
similar to when I last did it, somewhere
Andy,
in that area.
Yeah, Andy does it just on weekends
Shut
for
up.
Fun. Jimmy, you mentioned Jimmy Hitchcock. I got a funny story about him. He stole a Hi8 camera from our TV station back when I was working.
Really?
There.
Wow.
We our sports guy at the time had this Hi8 camera and had an idea. It was when they went to the Super Bowl in '97.
Yep.
against the Packers, and he said let's try to get one of the Patriots to do like a behind the scenes video thing, because they all have their cameras when they go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So let's give ours to one of the players and let them do a video, you know, diary for us. So they convinced Jimmy Hitchcock to do it, gave him the Hi8 camera, and
he just never got it back.
Never heard from him again.
Really?
Yeah.
He didn't even get
never got the footage either.
Never got anything from him.
Now that's, I could see him keeping the camera, but
that's very Putin like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the agreement was, you shoot this for us, give us the camera back, and, you know, we'll give you a copy of the whole thing, so you'll have it for, you know, for your...
Oh, that's all you were offering him, was a copy?
Well, what did
you want? No wonder he stole it.
What did you want him to give me?
Well, yeah, what else
would
you
want? Walked away, they want to give me a copy of this thing?
We would edit it, we would do the whole finished product.
I would have offered him the camera.
Never trust a guy with an ACL.
What's it, like an $800 camera?
At the time, it was a lot more than that, because it was a Hi8 camera, and back then it wasn't as prevalent.
$800.
So you would just give him the camera because he's going
to
shoot?
Well, these guys get paid to do stuff. So,
give him $800 then. Why does he get the camera? Yeah, we needed the camera for other stuff.
Okay, but give him something is what I'm saying.
There might have been an offer for, you know,
he easily could have just said no.
Right.
If the price wasn't right for him.
A fight just broke out over a decade long.
I can't believe I'm with Eric. I am.
But
I'm
you got to give him something for the effort.
I think there might have been something in that, too, but we never heard from him again.
Okay.
Never got anything from him.
I mean, the next time I conduct an interview in the locker room, should I have to give him my recorder when it's done?
No, that's not the same thing. You're asking this guy to, like, tape stuff for you over the course.
Something should be in it for him. You know, make it worth the effort.
A little something for the effort.
Well, but it's not like we were asking him to do something that players don't normally do. When you see them get off the plane, they all have their cameras. They all have the things.
They saved them from the trouble of buying one?
We saved him the trouble of buying one, editing it, doing all that. We were going to do the whole thing for him. We just wanted him to shoot it because we didn't have the access he did.
And you probably would have won an award, too. Probably.
James in New Jersey writes in, hello, men of Eric. Men of Eric. Hello, men of PFW and Eric, Gap Kids frequent customer, first-time emailer, and I just wanted to point out a coincidence that seems all too convenient and well-timed. Uh-oh. Oh, he's saying the same thing. The Colts lost in the playoffs last year to the Jets, and a lot of the credit should go to the Cromartie return late. Polian is on the competition committee. All of a sudden, we need to change the kickoff rules in the name of concussions. Sounds like a pretty big coincidence to me.
I'm buying in. Because I did think this was came out of nowhere, this whole... I didn't know there was this clamoring to change the kickoff rules.
You know what? I'm buying it, too.
Me, too. I'm in,
yep,
Fred.
I'm in.
With you, boss.
Yep. Screw the Colts and two big thumbs up to Brooklyn Decker.
That's...
Andy would like to put two big thumbs up Brooklyn Decker.
No, I wouldn't be using my thumb.
Yeah,
it's about the same size.
Yeah, we have a talk about that.
What?
Our friend strippers.
The size of your penis?
No. Our friend strippers, because there was a tweet the other day. Somebody tweeted, some radio station person, Brooklyn Decker or Erin Andrews. Erin Andrews retweeted and said, I vote Brooklyn Decker. She's something, whatever. So I retweeted that and said, not even a contest. It's Brooklyn Decker. And strippers says, Brooklyn Decker is, he saw that commercial for the movie.
Right.
All he could think of is she has wide hips and she looks like she's 40.
Yeah, I know.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Absolutely asinine.
Yeah.
Dumbest thing ever said.
And in his industry, he should know better.
Right. I actually said, clearly you've lost your eye for talent. You've lost it.
Right.
Because she is tremendous. I now follow her on Twitter, by the way. She has an official verified Twitter account.
And
you'd like to tweet
you
her,
have officially been verified as a creep.
You would like to tweet her, wouldn't you?
Tweet
you
Twitter.
Are correct, Fred. Now,
that
I'm
other
with you,
word
boss.
I sometimes say, Twitter her.
All right.
A-E-I-O-U, you get it.
Yeah.
Emil Carlson writes in, well, since there is no football being played, we are pretty much being forced to talk about the upcoming draft. Anyway, to my question, I've read several mock drafts. Seems like they have some kindergartner making them. Having
That's
us
Nolan
pick
Naraki.
Players like Ryan Kerrigan, J.J. Watt, Nakeem Ayers,
in
my opinion, these players would be a good fit if we look at other guys who might be available at 17, given we don't trade up or down. One guy who intrigues me is Alden Smith. What's your opinion on this?
Yes.
Do you like the other three?
I'm very intrigued by Alden Smith.
Yeah, I like Alden Smith.
Another one of those one-year wonders whose 1 year was 2 years ago. But very intriguing, young, big-time upside.
Just like Gronk.
And Michael Lombardi thinks the Patriots would be interested, and we know Michael Lombardi is a friend of Belichick who used to scout for him. Very intrigued by Alden Smith.
Back when he had a logo on his chest?
He does. Well, he does now, but it says NFL Network.
Yeah, it's a different logo.
Akeem Ayers. I have yet to watch his tape, but I'll tell you what. I watched a lot
of
tapes.
He keeps showing up in other people's tapes.
On running backs' tapes, receivers' tapes, and things of that nature, and he doesn't show up very favorably. I am not a big fan. Running plays just takes himself out of plays, it seems, all the time. Doesn't make plays. I see him shooting gaps when he doesn't get there. If you're going to shoot a gap in college, you got to get there because you're certainly not going to be able to shoot the gap any quicker in the NFL and get to a slower running back. I'm big time down on Akeem Ayers. No interest. Thank you.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you. Next email.
Andy's gearing up for
why bother adding anything?
Andy's gearing up for his season ticket holder stint up
when
the
is
club
that?
With Todd McShay and
the way.
Teddy Bruschi and Mike Reese.
I had a person come up to me last weekend saying that the season ticket holder and mentioned it, talking about the draft thing, and said, hey, I got this invitation to go to this draft event. Andy Hart, though, why aren't you there? He says to me. And I'm like, yeah, he goes to the combine. He's Mr. Draft. And I did take the shot and said, just ask him. He'll tell you. And he goes, no. He goes, I've actually heard him a lot. He is very good in the draft. I'm like, oh, geez.
Why are you going to roll your eyes?
Mike, I think you know why.
Mike in Rhode Island has the answer, actually gets it from Pro Football Talk, but 2012 picks can be traded at
the
team's
risk
own
of the
risk.
Yes.
At the own risk
That's
of the
team. That's what I had heard.
Right.
It was at the
what
risk.
What does that mean? What's the risk?
If there's no draft next year, you're out. If you trade...
It doesn't get deferred to 2013.
No, you trade for a 2012 pick, and if the year is lost, the year is lost with your pick.
I think that's a risk I would take.
Yeah, that's no
Me
risk
too.
At all.
It's a minimal
zero
risk.
Minimal risk. I think there's something else about that. I'll figure it out when we go upstairs.
You won't figure it out.
There's
you'll
too many people
you'll
that
send an email that I didn't know how to send.
There's too many guys that were tweeting about this during this past week to have it be complete fiction.
Any of them relevant, or are they Ian Rappaport types?
No. Oh, okay. Real guys. National guys.
Real guys.
I like the shots we take at him now openly. Yeah, he'll never understand it.
Strippers will tell him. They'll explain it to him.
Fred and from Halifax.
Hey,
the
monkey in the booth is pointing at you.
Oh, okay. And it's a good reason, because right now on the phone we have Anthony Stevenson, the senior product manager at EA Sports. Anthony,
how are you?
Good. This is what
PFW
do we call our show?
Progress.
PFW in Progress on Patriots.com online radio, and thanks for joining us. First off,
yeah, no problem.
We were talking about this whole thing where the fans are voting for the cover of Madden, and as much as we love Danny Woodhead, we can't figure out how he became the candidate for the Patriots, and maybe we were hoping that you could shed some light on that.
Yeah, no problem. I think you're obviously alluding to the fact that Tom Brady is not there. Amongst others, sure. Well, I'll start with this. Every year, historically, when we look at who to put on the cover, who's the right fit, there's a lot of factors, a lot of variables that go into it. And one is sort of the career journey, the story, because our cover athlete, what he'll do throughout the entire course of the year, along with promoting the game, is just talking about his experiences in the league and how he grew up playing Madden, things like that. Well, Danny Woodhead, as we were putting this together, we sort of came up with this concept from cut to cover. So everyone knew his story from Hard Knocks and being cut from the Jets and how difficult that was. And then for the Patriots to swoop in and pick him up, and for him to be such an integral part of that offense, is such an awesome story. So to go from cut to cover is pretty compelling, and certainly something that a lot of people would want to discuss. And then, in terms of Tom Brady, clearly Tom has no shortage of publicity and media and endorsements and things like that. So it's an opportunity for us to take someone like Danny and try to elevate him, and he would be a great spokesman for our brand. So we're very happy to have him involved.
So can we assume that you guys already have a deal done with all 32 candidates, and whichever one wins will be the cover spokesperson?
No,
oh.
that would be actually quite difficult. No, the way that it works is, we have a licensing agreement with the NFL, obviously, and the NFLPA as well. So, when we get down to a certain number, when we get down to the final four, to the last eight, that's when we reach out and start actually talking about deals and things like that. But, all of the participants are aware and are very excited. And if you happen to be on any social media, you'll see that they are, campaigning against each other pretty openly. So it's been pretty fun to watch.
Now, did you try to come up with a similar – I mean, there are a lot of stars in the seating. I mean, there's obviously varying – there's tackles, there's defensive players, quarterbacks. There's a variety of candidates. Did you try to come up with other from cut to cover type candidates from every team, and did you just think you couldn't come up with an underdog from all the teams? Is that how it played out, or –
No. It certainly wasn't an objective to have a lot of underdogs. But, yeah, I mean, storyline is definitely part of it. I mean, there's, you look at the Packers, and, it's a tough choice between Clay Matthews and Aaron Rodgers. But at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers was Super Bowl MVP, so it's hard, not to go with that. You think about somebody like the Carolina Panthers. There wasn't a standout player that made just absolute sense. I mean, maybe you go with a guy like Steve Smith and it becomes more of like a career achievement. But, Jordan Gross, we've never had a lineman like that on the cover before. He was the starter. He was the only Pro Bowler from Carolina, and he was a starter. So that was a very unique story. And, it's represented in the seed that he has. He has a 15 seed. He's got a tough matchup against the number 2 seed, Matt Ryan. So, like I said, there's a lot of variables that go into what makes a good cover athlete. Some of it is more of an underdog story. Some of it is just their on-field performance is second to none. And that's kind of how we go about it.
So what went into the seeding process?
And how the hell did Woodhead get a 4 seed?
Well, actually, you guys play a part in that. So
Don't blame this on us.
I mean, it's almost like a NASA-like equation, right? I won't get into all the details, but like I said, there's all these factors that have different weights applied to them, and one of them is the size of the market. So while Danny Woodhead, yes, his story is amazing. So from a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of story, that's a 10. Maybe his on-field performance, because he's only, you know, played 10 games or whatever it is with the Patriots, maybe that's on the low end. But the market is so huge. The Patriots fan base is the fervor that they have for their team is unmatched, maybe only by Pittsburgh. And so that size of the market creates a bigger opportunity for not only Danny to help us promote the game, but just also, for us to engage media like yourselves in general. So that's how that came to be.
So, Anthony, I don't know if you know, but we have a lot of influence among Patriots Nation.
That's what I hear.
We have a lot of mahogany in our office and leather bound books. So
you sip scotch and read the Wall Street Journal.
Right. So we're gonna mobilize Patriots Nation, and Danny Woodhead's gonna get up there. He's gonna get into the Final Four, and I just want to make sure you're gonna level with us. And if he wins this thing, he's gonna end up on the cover. There's no fix here.
There is absolutely no fix, and it's funny because that is part of the reason that we partnered with ESPN. I think that the general public knows that, part of ESPN's brand equity is that when you're doing these polls, you're doing these votes, that it is authentic and there's nothing going on behind the scenes. So, I will be open and honest with you. There is some a little bit of trepidation within our organization because we don't know who's going to win, and this is the first time that we have ever been in that situation.
Okay.
But we picked – all the guys that we picked are guys that were comfortable, who we know would be good representation of our brand, good spokesmen, that they care about the game and the spirit of what we're trying to do. So, yeah, no doubt about it. If Danny Woodhead made it, maybe he could stop selling jerseys at Modelo or whatever he's been doing behind the scenes, and he can start working on Madden.
And he is off to a good start right now from what we've seen in the voting against Steve Johnson.
Is. So he's, right? He drew a nice little matchup there against Stevie Johnson, Buffalo. And his next round, whether it be Hakeem Nicks or Arakpo from Washington, I'd say he's got a pretty favorable draw until he runs into the Super Bowl MVP there.
All right, Anthony, remind our listeners where they can go and vote on this.
Sure. There's actually three ways that fans can get involved. Number one is they can go to ESPN.com/MaddenVote, and that's where they can actually vote on the first round. The second way that they can participate is every Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Sports Nation is when they'll be unveiling the results live for that round, and then it's kind of rinse and repeat. Every week is a new round till we get to the finals, which we'll announce the day before the NFL draft. We'll announce the winner. And what's really cool is right now, up until when the first round voting closes, they can go to the Madden NFL Facebook page at Facebook.com/EA Sports Madden NFL, and they can actually fill out brackets just like an office pool like you would do for March Madness, and we're giving away Super Bowl tickets, free copies of the game, regular season tickets to the Patriots, things like that. So those are the ways that the fans can make their voice heard.
All right, Anthony. Anthony is the senior product manager for EA Sports. Thanks so much for taking the time, and I think that clarified a lot of this for us and our fans.
Absolutely.
All right, well, galvanize the troops, guys. Get out there and vote for Danny.
All right.
We are. Thanks, Anthony. Right. Thanks.
Anthony Stevenson from EA Sports. So, the more I think about it, though, as guys get eliminated from each market, now it doesn't become market versus market. It becomes, the Patriots market versus the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. And so in that way, EA can be a little confident that they're not going to end up with a non-star. But I would say...
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, well, here's what I'm saying. Remember American Idol years ago when Stern mobilized his fans to vote for that Sanjaya guy?
Sanjaya.
Yeah.
Vote for the worst.
That's right.
So, yeah.
That's what I want Danny Woodhead to be on the cover of Madden.
So do I.
So bad.
Yeah.
And then, I forget it, but it will be great.
Yeah.
Can you imagine at the final, it's Woodhead versus Aaron Rodgers and
so
Woodhead
strippers,
wins.
So, strippers, you control the internet. Make this happen.
But I told you, Al Gore,
get this done.
I told you one of the reasons, and he backed it up, about the strength of this market when it comes to online participation and voting for these kinds of things. Boston has a very strong reputation. They always get the baseball all-star, the fans vote. It was like the first 3 years they did it, it was like Veritek and Damon. They were always getting their guy in. Same thing now.
Yeah, but they could have voted for Gronkowski, too.
No, no, no. I'm saying with the voting, he's going to get votes. He's going to
no,
win.
I know, but I'm saying.
I'm not talking about
they could
who
have
they
voted
picked.
For Gronkowski. He would have had the strong market.
Oh, and no. You could have listen.
Don't tell me he didn't play Madden growing up with all the other four Gronk brothers God. And all that.
No, I didn't.
You could make any story listen, you want for any guy.
And I don't even think this is the best story. I mean, I'm not going to be disrespectful. They made a decision and. He told us why. I mean, that's
well. I mean, it is a
do?
Good story. You remember he won the Harlan Hill. Is it the Harlan Hill Trophy he won?
Yeah,
whichever trophy
division,
he won, and he unscrewed the big thing on the top and sat on the top of the trophy to play Madden. They used it as a chair. He took the football or whatever. It's like a 4-foot trophy. He mm-hmm. took the top off and used that to play Madden. So there's like there is a good story and a tale there. But my point is, there would be a good story if you put Gronkowski. What can you picture him with the two other brothers in the background?
Oh,
like
yeah.
The Madden family hits the NFL.
I mean,
or something.
How about, I mean, McCourty, I think, would have been a fantastic.
The McCourty brothers. You can tell
brothers,
me they didn't
yep.
grow up playing
right.
Madden
with his
two
twin,
brothers?
His twin brother and all the stuff that he does off the field and just.
Tremendous.
You know, the all pro status that he achieves
but,
in
be
his
that as it may,
year.
Woodhead is the candidate. Patriots fans need to vote for him because I want him on the cover.
En masse.
And then he'll break his leg because, you know, the Madden.
You know, and in New Hampshire and Rhode Island, too.
And globally. We are worldwide.
You got a pretty high-ranking guest there, too. I didn't expect to get.
Why? Now, you got to, you know, raise your expectations there, Kevin.
I know.
This is PFW in progress. We expect to get the best
and
guests.
We're global.
You basically came up with
it. It's good that you know the name of the show now.
When
you choked
called,
when the guy was talking.
I'm just glad he didn't say, Anthony, Andy Hart would like to ask you a question right. like you did when Stephen
Neal.
I thought
he was going to say Anthony in Naples on the ticket hotline, and he was going
to
be like, what?
Kevin,
that
when,
what
you,
he did
when you call yes. up to book a guest, it's what time are you going to be on?
Okay.
Yeah. It's not do you want to be on.
Nolan Naraki didn't like that approach.
Well, screw
yeah,
Nolan
well,
Naraki.
You know, it's not
he never,
win
he
every
never
time.
Even. He
I'm talking about when you talk to the high profile.
Joel Bushbaum would have called.
Oh, right.
The guy who had some class and some scouting skill.
Tell you something. Joel Bushbaum answered my call every year
that's
when
right.
I called him before for the pre-draft issue.
Because he was the man.
And he was regarded without peer as the best.
Nolan
the
Naraki,
best.
Not even in the conversation.
There are a lot of guys that I would call for a John show that were really nice, too.
No,
like
most
big,
people are nice.
Big national
But these guys, you know, Nolan Naraki works 3 months a year, and he thinks he's God's gift to the game.
It's like that Joey Brackets guy on ESPN, Joe Lunardi.
Joey Brackets?
That's what they call him. Joey Brackets.
Mel Kiper returns my phone calls. Is there anybody bigger related to the draft than Mel Kiper? And he returns our calls.
Guys that work at ESPN say he's legendary for his DB status.
My caller ID says Melvin Kiper.
Melvin.
Always giggle.
Steve Melvin. From Toronto doesn't like the idea of Woodhead on the cover. He says all this Woodhead Madden cover talk is just plain wrong. Have you all forgotten the Madden curse? It's second only to the SI curse. And he goes down the list of all the reasons why there is a Madden curse. And it's a long list. I'm not going to read it, but
long and distinguished.
But so a lot of injuries, a lot of people losing their jobs. Because
killing dogs.
After being on the Madden cover. But
he was on it, wasn't
despite
he?
Despite
that. Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
I thought he was. Was Vic on that list?
Oh, Vic was on
Vic
the cover.
Vic was definitely
yeah.
on the cover.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden you lose your mind, you start killing dogs.
So, but I still want him on there, don't you?
Yes, I think it would be the greatest story ever, especially if he doesn't play much next year. I think that would be phenomenal.
No, that would
for Madden.
Depends on why he's not playing.
Yes,
a lot.
We'll blame it on the curse.
It's like my Jermaine Cunningham thing. I wanted him to be the starter opening day because that said that he was had a great camp.
Right, from cut to cover to cut,
from cut to cover to cut.
No,
three
seasons. We like Danny.
I love him. I think he's a very nice guy.
I have no problems with him at all.
Danny's awesome.
And a good player, too.
He's awesome.
Had a good interview with him for the PFW show, as a matter of fact,
yes.
The TV show. Very
two
nice
pasty
man.
White guys.
Brooklyn Matt writes in, hi, Fred, Paul, and Eric.
Mike Shanahan Jr. over there.
I'm pleased as punch to hear an emailer who is a fan of Andy call me a douche. It follows suit with the Groucho Marx theory of I wouldn't want to join a club who'd have me as a member. Hey, Eric, how was your trip down to New Orleans? I loved your Deer in the Headlines cameo in the Belichick interview video.
Yeah, that was
good. Did you visit any New Orleans voodoo queen shops and buy a few love potions to bring you back up north? Desperate circumstances call for desperate measures, you know.
Wow. Thanks, Brooklyn.
But we did see the Belichick. You were pointing at the cameraman. What were you doing?
We were trying to test the mic because it was giving us trouble the day before, and we wanted to just make sure that it was working, so we did a little test.
Normally you do that before the camera starts rolling.
I knew that was coming. Next thing you know, you got abortion.
You are so predictable.
What?
You are predictably.
I don't care as long as people laugh.
It's funny. It was funny. I didn't say it wasn't
predictably funny.
I did not say it wasn't funny. It was funny.
Nathan writes in.
By the way, that was kind of some shots from your boy.
From Brooklyn Met?
Desperate Times. It's accurate.
You know,
though.
As much as you
did
two,
you go to any voodoo shops?
No. There was a voodoo mart directly across from the hotel.
A voodoo mart?
Mart. That's what it was called. Voodoo mart. But.
No commercialization there.
It was like beach towels with shrunken heads or something.
Yeah. We didn't have the nerve to go in.
Okay. Nathan writes in, did you guys comment on all the crap that Rex Ryan was talking about the Pats during the breakfast roast?
Yeah. The respect of benching Welker and all that. And
he's
if you want to win the Super Bowl, you should come
here.
Well,
that I agree with. But
Fred's theory was that that was a sign of respect, that he crossed the line, got personal, and Bill Belichick.
I thought he showed a lot of respect for the Patriots in general throughout his comments. Just because he thinks that he can beat the Patriots, that's not a sign of a lack of respect.
But he did say something. I mean, the Patriots fans, I'm sure, got under their skin that the Patriots lost three games. Two were to him, and one was to his brother.
Facts
but that's
not
that's not a lack of respect.
I know, but mentioning that
the truth is never mean.
Other coaches wouldn't do that.
He also and to
they wouldn't rub it in like
to
that.
Be fair.
No, because other coaches don't talk the way Rex Ryan
exactly.
talks.
Exactly. That's
but
what
it's
I'm
not
saying.
It's not disrespectful to the Patriots. Is my point.
It's and unorthodox.
I was very surprised. Yes, his absolutely his approach is unorthodox.
I will say this about his comments. They weren't unsolicited. There were a lot of members of the New England media who went to Rex's table and were.
And he's a horse
out of him.
If you just point him towards the water, he starts drinking. It's like what Andy does to me all the time. He knows that I want to say it.
Right. Jody, what's her last name?
I'm not saying.
They're following my lead from the phone conference during the season.
Well, yeah. That's true.
I've opened the floodgates for people.
You have. That was quite a performance.
He opens the floodgates himself.
I am.
That's what he is.
I could actually see him getting finished.
He's just like me. He goes into things saying, I want to say these stupid things.
I could see him at the end of a press conference when a question that he wanted to answer isn't asked, him saying, is anybody going to ask me about whether or not I think we're going to win the Super Bowl this year?
Right. Yes, no question.
He
doesn't say anything.
He doesn't need much prompting.
I don't think he's ever regretted anything he said because he wants to say it.
Oh, I don't think so either.
No. Well, maybe that on camera he regrets
it. It is unorthodox, there's no doubt. I just thought it was surprisingly he continues to say, They're the division champs.
You want to win the Super Bowl, come to New York.
And he said, we got to find a way to get home games in the playoffs. And the only way they can do that is by overtaking New England. He said that. I mean, the Patriots are still at the top of the heap, and the Jets are still aspiring to beat the Patriots.
That's being a jackass.
But he does say, like they said, if you want to win the Super Bowl, come play for the Jets.
Well, I'm sure the Patriots would say the same thing.
I don't know if it's true.
Say it publicly.
If you want to go to the AFC title game, go play for the Jets.
Right.
That's fact, not opinion.
The fact that he says it publicly is what makes it unorthodox.
Yes, and I agree with you.
All teams feel the same
confidence. It's unorthodox.
No, what makes it unorthodox is the other people don't say it publicly.
Right.
It's their choice not to say it. He chooses to say it. Right?
Right.
So it's okay.
No,
everybody's saying it behind closed doors.
I agree with
you. They're all saying the exact same thing.
Sure.
And Lord knows Patriots fans have said it forever. If you want to win the Super Bowl, you come to New England. You take less money and come to New England.
Fred leads the charge.
Right.
Sure.
If they want to win.
TJ, and if winning is important.
If winning is important.
If you want to get bounced in the postseason in the first round.
That's not to say you can't win with other teams, but
you
have a better chance to win here.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
But it's not true anymore.
Right.
You still win. 14-2 is not losing.
In the regular season.
Yeah. You know, you can't win the Super Bowl every year, idiot.
How about a playoff game?
Idiot. I'll settle for advancing in the playoffs.
TGNNJ says, just one point I want to make.
Being competitive in January.
Just one point I want to make about the CBA crap. While the owners and players are fighting over how to split up the proverbial pie, I think they fail to realize that the pie is shrinking on a daily basis. I believe the damage has already been done. If you think the stadiums were on the empty side last year, it's going to be worse next season. September is going to come around, and the owners and players will figure something out last minute, turn around and proclaim, okay, we got it, football's back. Hey, where is everybody? Hello, come back. We figured out the new CBA. Football's back. Where'd everybody go?
Ain't going to happen.
And it's going to be crickets. Okay, that's extreme. But I think the whole thing is going to take a big hit. Basically, the owners and players are in for a rude awakening. They are not going to make as much money as they have in the past, and it's going to take a work stoppage for the so-called market correction to occur. I'm not sure I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know as much about the business, the specific numbers that he's talking about there at the end, but I would disagree with his characterization of the NFL last year. I mean, if we thought we played in front of empty stadiums last year,
there was an
I don't think we did. Number one, there were some teams that
there was
that
an
struggled,
increase in blackouts,
but there
that's
was
true,
and there was
markets.
An all-time high on the other end of that spectrum in television ratings, and that's where they make their money, not off of Joe Average that's sitting in the stands.
But they are concerned about the
if they had
the
to choose between one thing or the other, Fred, they'd want those ratings to stay the way they are, and they wouldn't care about attendance.
But
they want both.
They want both.
But
the issue
if
is,
you have to pick between one or the other, they're making a lot more money off of you watching on TV
and
than
people
being.
Are watching. They're just choosing to watch from home on their HD TV. That's the problem.
Well,
you're not losing fans.
I'll
you're losing
you
how they interact.
I'll tell you
that's
something.
My point.
You know, if you had a few years of watching on TV to half-empty stadiums, there's a perception in the TV viewer's mind of this isn't as big an event when you see a
there's
lot of empty
but,
seats.
But you're talking about a half-empty stadium. That's a gross exaggeration.
But that's what I'm –
There's no good team that plays to a half-empty stadium.
Yeah.
Even the Chargers are a good team.
Well, there's really
struggled.
No
we've
bad
been out,
team.
We've been out there for those games that
well,
have blacked
the Raiders,
out.
Yeah. Early in the season, the Raiders were.
We've been at almost called it Jack Murphy Stadium. We've been at Qualcomm Stadium when those games have been blacked out.
Right.
You can't even see an empty seat.
So – You know, Jacksonville's, they struggle.
Yes.
They covered thousands of seats and still struggle.
Yeah, there are teams that struggle, there's no doubt.
But they suck.
Carolina's going to struggle going forward. Jacksonville.
Maybe they should contract. Maybe there's not places where they shouldn't have teams, whatever. But in general, the league is doing fine in terms of attendance and fan appreciation.
Zach in Syracuse writes in, after listening to Tuesday's show, I thought I'd add my two cents on the issue of the contact/hitting rules. Let me preface this by saying I never played football. But I have played rugby for years. Now, obviously, this will never happen, but I think that taking away the pads and helmets would be the best way to make the game safer. In rugby, without the benefit of shoulder pads and helmets, it forces you to use good tackling technique, leading with the shoulders, making contact between the knees and hips, warping up, and never leaping with the head.
Wrapping.
Oh, he had warping.
He transposed two letters. You can't help him?
Amazing.
Well, like warp speed.
You must fail
Star
those
Trek.
Emails. You know those emails Star that say, Trek. Like, yeah. if you see
no,
the first letter, you can
win.
Read
really
the whole
fast
thing?
He must actually win. Yeah.
No, I think he reads it as is.
You did every day.
I was thinking that, you know, warping up like in Star Trek.
Yeah.
So you're warp, a, you get you're up a safety, like 20 yards behind the play, and then all of a sudden you're there in a second.
And he beams him up.
Like Troy Polamalu.
There is a higher chance of getting cuts on your head, but the kind of concussions and spinal injuries are much less common in rugby than in football. I've only ever had one concussion from rugby, and it was in my first game when I got kicked in the temple and knocked out. But this is not
These
very
things
common.
Happen.
Much safer. Just my thoughts.
And then you get guys who aren't used to it.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's the
who
problem.
Like to lead with their head.
That's the
and
problem.
Then
the transition. But it is a common theory that too much padding, helmets, face masks, all that leads to using your body as a weapon.
Are there
limitations on pad size?
Most likely there is. There's probably certain limitations.
Most likely there
is. I can imagine that there must be, you know. Like, for example, if I was a running back, if I could do it without impeding my leg movement, I'd put thigh pads that were much bigger, make
it's
it harder for
it's
people
always the
to
thighs with him.
To make it harder for people to wrap up around my legs.
And I would say, if you're going to put something that ridiculously big on, I'll take the advantage it gives me that you're going to be a slow, fat guy.
That's why they don't do it.
They don't want to wear them at all.
No, a lot of guys.
Most receivers don't.
Yeah, you see receivers, they don't wear
receivers
pads
don't wear
at all.
Pads.
What
shoulders and helmets.
There was talk that was going to be changed.
They are. They're supposed to wear thigh pads now.
Did they do, you know, the whole thing about the hitting?
Did they institute that?
I don't
there
even,
was talk of it, but then I don't remember hearing.
Because
like,
all I remember hearing about that they actually enacted was the kickoff thing.
Mm-hmm.
The turf thing and the replays of the scoring plays. That's it, right?
That's all we talked about.
There weren't any more minor things that passed that didn't make it into the stories?
I don't know. Let's go to our on-site reporter, Eric Scalabrine.
But the whole thing about hitting that Andy and I were talking about, you know, the quarterback and the act of throwing. You can't hit the quarterback after an interception. You can't contact the punt returner.
Equipment or uniform may not be part of those competition committee rule changes.
Yeah, I was talking about the hitting rule. This was a competition committee proposal.
Yeah, that was.
But I never saw anything about it.
I don't think – I think that's an enforced thing from the – equipment and
it's like in high school they check for everything. You gotta have the butt pad and the hip pad and the thigh pad and the knee
Paul's
pad.
Talking about Paul's talking about the
wow, I never that never happened
the
when
defenseless
the
player
right
rule we never
which
heard
by the way
about it.
Is now anybody who's ever set foot in a football field
pretty much
is considered defenseless
pretty much.
Boy, here we go. Derek from the University of Arizona wants to have us shout out the fact that today is his 21st birthday.
Enjoy.
So have one for us.
Pretend you're Irish
imbibing,
today.
Tonight, I would imagine.
Maybe I'll just drink to get drunk.
I'm
happy
curious
birthday,
about what
Derek.
He thinks about that fence they have through campus. They've set up like a fake border fence through the University of Arizona campus. Wonder if he has anything to do with that or what his thoughts are on that.
And if you're an illegal alien, you go on one side, and if you're an American,
to
keep you go
no,
on the other.
No, it's to try to get the student body to, I guess, relate to
what it feels
one side
like.
Or the other, what it feels like to have a fence going through where you live or whatever.
Oh.
Maybe he can explain it.
Okay.
Like the fence doesn't go through where they live. The fence keeps them from coming to where we live, right?
I'm talking about where the students live.
No, I know.
No, but I know
Andy's
what he's
talking about.
But it's not
immigrants.
Like they...
No,
is this, what is this? I don't get.
You know the whole dispute about the border between Mexico and putting up a fence.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Some of the students at
so
or
I'm
somebody at the University of Arizona put
it's
a fence.
It's not like
up
we put
campus.
Up a fence halfway through Mexico
it's
and said
like,
you guys are in our country, the rest aren't.
It's not in any way similar to. I mean, it's keeping people on
right,
one
right,
side
right.
who belong
lower,
on one side.
Right. How about the volume?
And people God. On the other side who live in the other side.
Right.
It's not putting a fence down the middle of a campus
we
where
have the, we
I
have,
might have to go over there and you might have to come over here.
We have the right to enforce our borders.
Right.
So I'm just curious how it all got started, and just he would know, I would assume, since
That's
he goes
funny.
To school
you
there.
You see those tunnel things, those million-dollar tunnels they build, the drug dealers?
Oh, is that right?
They buy a warehouse on one side and a warehouse on the other, and they do these huge tunnels underground and with intricate systems of lighting, communication, and they spend millions to dig them because if you get it done and succeed even like one shipment, you win. You
right.
know, you made $10 million on your $1 million investment. Fascinating series I saw. Very interesting.
Okay. Fred in Halifax is just checking in because he's still on the boycott. Is there still a lockout going on? My wife wants to know.
Jody didn't say no.
Apparently, she says, I'm starting to poke my nose into issues around the house that are none of my business. On a serious note, I think we should trade around and make the highest picks we can this year. The team is pretty young, and we don't have room for a lot of late-round players.
Exactly. We need impact players, especially on defense.
Do you buy that, though? That
yeah,
this,
I do.
This roster is so stocked with talent that we couldn't upgrade?
No, that's not what I'm saying. But normal teams upgrade with how many picks? 7. We already have 9, right? So do we really need to trade down to get 3 more so we get 10 or 12 like we've had the last 2 years and add 36 players in 3
but
years?
I wouldn't,
well,
but
a lot
I
of the trading down could be higher picks in 2012. You know what I'm saying?
Well, those don't help
that.
Us at all.
No, I know, but... You're saying you don't
the only
need
thing
a
that helps
of...
us less than a third-round pick is a 2012 first-round pick.
You're saying you don't need a lot of picks. Well, don't get them this year. Get them next year.
I'm saying you need impact players.
That's
what I'm saying.
I wouldn't mind using...
Because the last two postseasons, when impact players make plays, they haven't been able to keep up. I think they need impact defensive players.
Okay. I wouldn't mind using the first 6 picks. I mean,
sure.
I agree with your premise that we don't need to pick 12 more guys this year like we have the last... Two
right.
drafts.
When you got old and slow,
we probably
now
don't have
it over.
But now I think we need. I don't think that the roster is stacked to the point where we don't need impact players. We need a lot of them.
No, yeah, but you have 6 in the first 3 rounds. That's impact players. That's
yeah.
getting a
and
basically
I use
a full draft in the first half of the draft. That's
mm-hmm.
what that is. That's what you need.
And I'd be fine.
But
if
trading
they, if
down
they
to get
them.
3 more picks in the middle by
don't
giving
want,
the Chargers
don't
the
28th
pick is not what this team needs.
Don't want to do that.
That's what the Redskins need. They need to add 12 good young players that can be the foundation of a roster.
Dan writes in, why would we want Woodhead or any Patriot on the Madden cover? Don't we get enough significant injuries every year without invoking curses?
That's right. If there weren't a significant injury last year, you wouldn't know who Danny Woodhead was.
And I guess the photos of the Tom Brady Under Armour photo shoot are out. Strippers has just sent us a link. It's on YouTube.
It's going to be the first guy ever that puts on Under Armour and doesn't make it look like jacked. You look dainty.
Fred gives you a bad
right.
look.
Even Eric would look jacked in Under Armour.
Brian from Newcastle,
not that green
shirt,
in that green T-shirt.
Brian from Newcastle, Pennsylvania says, first time email, a long time listener. Love you guys. You brighten up my day. My question is, with all the experts
there.
Saying this isn't a good draft for offensive linemen, wouldn't it make sense that the D-line ends are heavy with good players this year? What are the expectations of the D-line ends when they are playing against NFL linemen?
What?
First
of all, it's pretty well thought of at tackle.
Yeah, I thought there was a lot of tackles that are
the
possible
center
first rounders.
Group, not all that strong. But tackle, there's like 5 or 6 guys that are pretty well thought of that
there's
for
not,
a second round
there's
types.
Not that franchise
Elite.
Left tackle
right.
that we've seen with Jake
but
Long.
But it's definitely the strongest position of the
But there's a lot of tackles
of the O-line.
Yeah,
that
are
going to
go in the first
round.
2 rounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's never
Plus,
any guards and centers.
In college,
that's rare. There's usually one or two every year, you know, like Pouncey was last year. Iupati, I think, a couple years ago was a guard that went in the first round.
They've increased
to
of late.
San Francisco?
Yeah. There's one or two of those guys every year, and there's probably one or two of those guys this year that maybe that.
Well, Pouncey's
edge,
getting overrated.
That oh, edge yeah. of the first round into the second round. But tackles, there's always a lot of tackles in this.
Plus, half
there's
these
a
guys
lot of well thought of tackles.
One
right
year
now.
Wonders had their 1 year 2 years ago when some other tackles were in the draft, and it's not like you only play against your draft class, your equal. You're playing sophomores as seniors as juniors, all that.
It's a different kind of draft class in general. I think it lacks some high-end talent.
Oh, yeah.
Would you say that?
Certainly.
You know, there's not that, you know,
look at how far
we are into the process without anybody really being able to
and
agree.
Arguably the two best players in the draft are at positions where people don't think you can take them one or two overall in Peterson and A.J. Green, wide receiver and cornerback.
All right, well, the draft talk will continue.
Another hour.
This show won't. That'll be it for today. But we will see you next Tuesday. See you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.